much about.
What's it like to stare into the eye of Satan's butthole?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah!
People say that's not how I define marriage. Well, to them I say love knows no bounds. Why can't people marry dogs? I'm certainly not advocating intimacy with your pets. I, for one, think intimacy has no place in a marriage. Walked in on my parents once and it was like seeing two walruses wrestling. So woof on Prop 15, Ohio. And that's how Sue sees it.
That woman really knows her way around a penis.
Sometimes you don't know what life is like, box of chocolate, right, Bean?
Who's the best elite coach in the world?
You.
Yeah, it's good enough.
Psycho Mike, period. Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Psycho Mike.
Like a garden, I dig it.
Hey, Mike, we all talked it over, and we're going to need you to shut the up. Thanks.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The voice of the people is heard once more.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Make love to my buttocks, Manny.
Roll another one.
A big open manhole.
Just like the other one.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
This one seems to be about to quit.
So shame on you, Barack Obama.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Let's hug it out.
Roll another one.
Megan Fox just blew me a kiss. What's up?
Just like the other one.
Silly Mexican.
This one seems to be about to end.
Will somebody shut him up?
I don't have another cent.
Don't chase me, bro.
Your butt ain't made for that.
Don't look at me.
Just pass it around.
Did you hear the fart just then?
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
My friends always said to me, your voice is like butter to our ears. Could you please find a way to get that audible chocolate on the airwaves? Well, here I am.
Our feature presentation.
Audible chocolate.
Nice. Come on.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Friday morning.
We're going to take your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew Friday edition coming up in 1 minute at 1-800-520-1067. You can call on any topic, get on the air, get a prize. By the way, Charles Barkley is awesome, as we all know. Former NBA great, now a basketball analyst for TNT. Did you see what he did last night, Kevin?
I watched about half the game and about half of that halftime report with him. I didn't see anything that stood out, no.
Well, he was making fun of Sammy Sosa, who we haven't really talked about on the show. Who's Sammy Sosa, who's going down the Michael Jackson path, is turning into a white man.
Oh, is that right?
Is he really?
I didn't know that.
Sammy Sosa is like 40 shades later now than he was last
really?
Time I saw him.
Okay.
So clearly, I mean, Mike, you've seen the pictures. He's doing something, right, on purpose?
Yeah. I wonder if it's just a guy who spent 90% of his existence outdoors and now doesn't.
Yeah. It's quite possible.
But I mean, he's noticeably lighter. He's right.
Yeah, he's way white. So Charles Barkley is making fun of that. So, and I don't know how they get away with this. I mean, this would never, ever, 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 ever work in reverse if you had the white basketball analyst on getting put up in blackface during the show.
Yeah.
But they had him, they were lightening his face during the show as he was sitting there. He had a makeup artist there making his face all white.
Awesome.
And he was talking about how now that he's white, he misses eating, you know, chicken and ham hocks and just going on and on and on about all this stuff that virtually only Charles Barkley could get away with doing.
He is the best.
Wow.
He really has no filter. He'll just say whatever comes to his mind.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I love that about him.
And I guess part of what works with him is that he's such a loose cannon and people just know that he says crazy, inappropriate stuff that no one else would say, that maybe nobody takes him seriously or something. He can just get away with everything.
It seems like you can get away with a lot more if people expect you to be inappropriate. you know, South Park, for example, does stuff every week that people should be in up in arms about, but they don't because they know that South Park, that's what they do. They expect it. Same with Family Guy, same with Charles Barkley or whoever.
Yeah.
But why can't they do that with us?
Yeah.
You know? Why can't they do that with everybody? That's how it ought to be. Mm-hmm. It ought to just be, hey, if I think it's funny, I'm going to watch that dude. If I don't think it's funny, I'm not. And it doesn't. I don't care whether somebody else likes it or not. That's how it ought to be.
Come on, Bean. That's not how America runs.
But Kenny Smith, one of his colleagues on the broadcast, kept yelling out, say it loud. And he kept saying, I'm black and I'm proud. I mean, it just got silly. But anyway, so Charles Barkley going after the Sammy Sosa, how white can I be look, which I thought was very, very funny. You should check out the video. It's all over the internet if anyone wants to see it.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, all this week it's been about Weezer, of course. We have a chance for you to win the prize package later on in the show. You can earn it right now. All you have to do is be on the air to see Weezer January 11th at the UCI Brand Event Center. Plus, we'll give you a brand new Weezer Snuggie and a copy of the new CD, which is called Ratitude. All of that for you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show this morning.
Let's start with Bucky. Bucky's call needs a little bit of explanation. Bean is a little strange and has had many, many, many pets of different animals, pigs, you know, donkeys. He had his donkey taken care of.
Neutered.
And kept his donkey's balls in a jar for 10, 12 years?
Yeah, long time. Put him in a jar.
Didn't I mean, have because him at work in a locker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Donna wouldn't let me keep him at the house.
Yeah. So,
and we let you keep him here? What's wrong with that picture?
So remember when we gave him away?
Yes.
Well, we gave him away to a guy named Bucky, who's calling now to tell us how that went. Hey, Bucky.
Dude, oh my God, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
I just gotta say, I had him for a while. I was moving, and I accidentally dropped the jar. Oh my God, that was like the worst experience I could ever deal with.
Oh, now, I'm frankly surprised that it smelled bad just because they had been soaked in formaldehyde for so many years. I would have thought that would have taken care of it.
Well, formaldehyde stinks, too.
Oh,
it's
man,
a terrible smell.
It was horrible. The box they came in was leaking.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's
how bad it was.
Whoa.
Bull rat.
Listen, man.
No.
The leaking box.
Stop.
So the short version of the story is they're finally done. They've finally been thrown away, and they won't terrorize any more people.
Exactly.
You had to pick those up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so gross.
I would have moved.
Oh, I needed a hat now, too.
Just burn the place down and move.
Well, no, I'm glad it happened when I was moving, so the smell is probably like in the old apartment.
Right. All right, good, yeah.
Oh, good. That's the next guy's problem. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I eventually, I mean, I would have hung on to them because I thought they were kind of a neat curiosity. But once I moved away, I didn't have an office anymore. And I couldn't have them in the house. So we had to do something with them. So we ended up giving them away.
That would be a neat curiosity.
It is. There are lots of people who have little medical things in jars, you know? People
and
have little brains and things like that.
Little brains. Oh, there are a lot of people. Yeah, that's pretty much the majority. A
lot of people, yeah.
I go into a house and someone's got little brains. I think it's cool.
Probably 95%.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that all the time. Let's try Ralph. Ralph is on line 7 calling about a guest we have this morning that we're very excited about on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph, welcome to the program. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
I don't know if you've seen the new celeb reality rehab, but it's a sex addict one.
Sex rehab,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yes,
we have.
And there's a girl, a porn star named Penny Flame. I don't know her real name, but long story short, she says she took 19 young boys' virginity before the age of 18, between 12 and 18. And Dr. Drew's trying to make her feel like she's
there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, she acts like she says she's a monster. I think she's doing God's work. If there was more girls like that, everyone would be happy.
Exactly. Look, this is what I said after the first episode of that program. God bless Dr. Drew. I love him. Wet blanket. He'll do everything he can to put a party out. I mean, that's what he's about. So, believe me, we're going to be talking to him about that today. He needs to just shut the F up and step the F out of the way.
That is exactly the argument I had with someone watching this show about, is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? But they were so young, like 11, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, they got to learn sometime.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to interview any all of those boys and find out if there was any ill effect.
We could take calls from guys. I think it's very
10, 11,
obviously,
and
you can be scarred whatever you are. But right. I think it's very different for a guy and a girl.
I lost my virginity when I was pretty young.
To like a tennis shoe?
To an older whore. Oh. Like she was in high school, I was in junior high, and she was like old and like a big slut.
But I wonder, like, this girl was the same age as the boy. So do you think that, like, the boys would start to have inappropriate behavior and maybe sort of prey on other young girls?
No, look at how normal I am.
That's true. That's a good point.
Good point.
And Mike has no sexual issues whatsoever.
You're so right.
All right. Why don't we try, let's see. I'm not going to talk to Michael. I do know that. Too much poop this week. Let's try Robert. He's on line 8. We'll squeeze in just one more on Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Then we'll tell you about our huge program today. Hey, Michael. Or excuse me, Robert. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
What to do, nephew? What to do, baby boo?
What to do?
Did you hear about the touchdown celebration that got banned this week? Mm-hmm. Because of me and Ralph's great Philadelphia Eagles?
Tell us.
What?
No.
The Captain Morgan pose.
And what? Which one is that? What do you do after your touchdown for the Captain Morgan?
You just stand there with your leg up, hand on the hip, like you're doing the Captain Morgan pose.
So someone did that, and then the NFL
banned?
Said, no, you don't.
Because he thought he was getting advertisement right there.
Oh. They thought there were commercial implications. I see. It wasn't that it was excessive celebrating. It just that it looked like a commercial, and the NFL wasn't getting anything for it.
Exactly.
Interesting. By the way, while I'm complaining about Dr. Drew and other things, let people do whatever they want when they score a touchdown.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
Let them. Who cares?
If you score a touchdown in the NFL, those of you that don't watch, and you celebrate, they'll throw a flag on you. You can't celebrate. You have to go, oh, okay, that was pretty cool. That's about it.
Look,
do you
if
get
somebody's...
a high five? Is that where they draw the line?
You tell me.
That you can do, and I know you can. You know, you can chest bump your teammates and stuff, but you're not allowed to do a little dance or anything like that.
Aww.
You can still point to God because God's responsible for all touchdowns.
Sure,
you know that. But I mean, look, if somebody's doing something that's stupid, the fans will turn on him, or his teammates will turn on him, or his coach will turn on him. Otherwise, people are having a good time with whatever the player decides to do.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, no more Captain Morgan.
So. Yeah. Thanks for the call. My biggest frustration, by the way, when I'm watching any kind of celebrating in the NFL is the guys that jump up and down and scream on almost every play as if they've just won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? All right, you stopped a guy from running 2 yards. That's fine. Get back in the huddle. You know what I mean? The game's still on. You haven't won anything yet. You just stopped a guy. Just seems like they get way too excited.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Friday morning means movie beat.
Mm-hmm.
Movie beat. We also have Dr. Drew, like Bean said. He's in studio for sex rehab.
Awesome.
Can't wait.
Love this show.
That guy knows everything.
Yep.
And we always try to challenge.
He's not going to make us stop doing stuff.
We always try to challenge him, and we always lose. But
you wish you did stuff like the people on that show do, please.
He does, actually, yeah.
We wouldn't stop you, trust me. We'd be happy for you.
Adam Carolla will be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
This Week in Rage. We're going to talk to Tony Hawk. And we have Weezer tickets for you.
Ah, okay.
So how about that? And dangerous things you did when you were drunk.
Oh.
Like you put your life in danger. Wait till you hear what Ralph did. It is, he's the stud of all studs.
It's the best story ever.
Yeah.
Our jaws were hitting the ground.
We've known Ralph a long time, and you wouldn't think there would be a story that significant that still had been untold until this week, but you will enjoy it very much. It's a miracle that he's still here.
True.
That he's still alive, and certainly that he can walk.
And we all pretty much talked about it and agreed. That guy's a pussy.
Until
he told that story, and it's like, you're my hero.
Right.
I want to be like you. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. This is a very busy day for our friend Ralph Garman. He will be here with the Movie Beat later on today with movies he's actually seen this week, which is a disturbing new trend. I don't think I care for it at all, but that's straight ahead. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's happening?
Who will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl?
Well, Jonas Brothers, I hope.
No, I just told you.
Oh. What?
Oh.
Who will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Who?
I don't know. You're
I just
the
told you.
Guy.
Stop asking us.
Who will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl?
The president of China?
I just told you.
Nice.
Then you ask me who will be the entertainment.
Who will be the entertainment?
Yes, Lisa. You guys don't know how to play this game.
Do it again. I'll do it right this time.
Who will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Who will be the entertainment for the Super Bowl?
Exactly, Lisa.
What? Who? Wow.
That's right.
I hate you both.
I'm sorry, who?
Exactly. NFL apparently has not yet confirmed, but Sports Illustrated is saying that The Who, Legendary's 60s iconic band, will be playing the halftime ceremonies at the Super Bowl.
Just so I'm sorry, who?
There's only two of them left.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say The Who are playing when it's just two dudes, and one of them hates getting back together with the other guy.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah. That was an excellent choice.
How many Roger Daltrey is the lead singer, the voice of The Who. So as long as you have him, I guess it still sounds like The Who.
Right.
But then you have the guitar player...
Pete Townsend.
Pete Townsend, who has said often about the reunion shows that they do, this is a joke, this isn't The Who, and people are crazy if they come here to see us, and they're stupid.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a great attitude.
So he's going into it with the right
How
attitude.
How many were in the band originally?
Four.
Four?
Wow. Yeah. So they lost their drummer early, and then the bassist, John Entwistle, died not too long ago, so... It's just two guys, two old guys and some backup bands.
Half of Who.
Exactly.
It's not an exciting choice for the halftime show.
No. I mean, I like Who music. I like the songs.
When was the last time they
Won't
picked?
Get Fooled Again and stuff. I mean, if you watch CSI, you hear their greatest hits every week.
True.
But yeah, not a great choice.
Yeah.
They are seem to be reaching back into the classics bag each year, though. I guess to stay away from any possible controversy. As the British would say, about nipples and that kind of thing.
Go to Jack White and say, look, you've got 12 minutes. Do whatever you want.
Right, but that is way too current and hip.
And risky.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What if he says something or does something, and then everybody gets all knicker twisted?
Exactly.
Knicker twisted.
Not sure I'm familiar with that term.
You get your underwear in a bunch.
All right.
I mean, they usually go two ways. They either go with the classic rock, like the Stones or the Springsteen, or they go, you know, the pop, like the Taylor Swift or somebody like that who can do it. You know,
well, even that, put her on. At least she's from this decade.
Yeah,
I'd rather see that too.
But at least the Who has a bunch
of hottie.
Has a bunch of hits. You know, like
Who Let the Dogs Out?
Right.
That's one of their best songs. Yeah, that was not
what?
The Who. No.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of hot looking chicks on our television screen. ABC has announced they are ordering up another version of the classic 70s TV show, Charlie's Angels.
All right.
Charlie's Angels, of course, famously made Farrah Fawcett a star back in the day, along with Jacqueline Smith and Kate Jackson. Then there was the big screen version, which, of course, was very popular with Drew Barrymore and Lucy Liu and Cameron Diaz. And now they're going back to do a TV version, apparently. So, that's one of the remakes I don't mind.
Yeah.
Because it'll be three hot chicks running around with guns stopping bad guys, and I'm always for that. Speaking of hot chicks, Megan Fox.
Yes.
Is interviewed in the New York Times Magazine, and for a long time we've been debating, is she smart and cagey? Is she orchestrating all her publicity? Is she crazy? Is she stupid?
Yeah.
What's the deal with her? Well, turns out she's crazy like a fox. See, because her name's Megan Fox.
Wow.
She manages all of her interviews in such a way as she said she is creating a character I offer up for sacrifice when she talks to the press.
What?
This whole personality thing of her saying she's ugly and all the stuff that she says when she's being interviewed by the press is all carefully manufactured and planned out, she says.
Why would she say that?
No! No! I created a character as an offering for the sacrifice, she says, when it comes to talking to entertainment reporters. No! It's a testament to my real personality that I would go so far as to make up another personality to give to the world. No! The reality is I'm hidden amongst all the insanity. Nobody can find me.
So is her thought that if I say crazy stuff about how insecure I am and how ugly I think I am, it will intrigue people and they'll be interested to hear the next interview rather than if I'm just myself and normal and boring, no one will care.
Exactly. So there you go.
Well, there's some truth to
that. Megan's gone bye-bye is my answer.
Let me just, if we have time, Ralph, let me pull out Dave's first sit-down, 60-minute style interview with Megan Fox.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can see here how she is sort of creating a persona by how she responds to some very basic questions from Dave.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Yeah, I can see what she's talking about.
See, right there.
Definitely, she knows how to play it, yeah.
She's obviously creating a persona, I think, to present to the public eye.
No.
I have one question for you, hello.
that was
his question.
Yeah.
Never has anything been less a question than hello.
Yeah. And no one's been more proud of a question than he was of that.
Yes, I did good. Eva Longoria Parker and Bean have something in common.
They do? They both are in love with French guys.
They both react strongly when they feel they've been wronged by the man. You know, Bean, of course, is famous for his strongly worded letters. Well, Eva Longoria apparently bought herself a pack of yellow M&Ms. And when she opened it up, there was no peanut M&Ms inside, just regular M&Ms.
Were they supposed to be peanut?
Yeah, the yellow bag is the peanut M&M's.
Oh, the yellow bag. Okay,
right, the yellow, brown bag is regular.
I hope she doesn't stand for that.
She did not, Kevin.
Oh. Good.
She promptly got on the phone with the phone number on the back of the M&M package and complained to the company saying it was unacceptable that she got no nuts. Eva loves nuts. She wanted nuts in her mouth, and you know what you got? No nuts.
Yeah.
Just a mouthful of regular chocolate. She wanted chocolate and nuts in her mouth. So M&M said, we will send you peanut M&M's every week free for a year.
Dude.
Would they do that for us if we weren't Eva Longoria Parker? No, that's
of
what I'm
not.
Saying.
But here's my question. How much free time does she have that she doesn't
just
go buy another bag of M&M's? I mean, really, you're going to call and wait and...
Times are tough for TV stars, Kevin. They don't have that kind of money to throw around. You have to go back to the vending machine and get another yellow bag of M&M's.
They have that kind of time?
Yes.
Just a minute. I'll be out in a minute. I've been on hold for 2 hours with the
right is right and wrong is wrong.
All right.
And when Eva demands chocolate nuts in her mouth, that's what she gets. I mean, ask her husband, Tony Parker. NBA basketball player Tony Parker.
Sure.
He knows about her demands for chocolate nuts.
That's true.
Well, sure. Yeah, of course. I would love to talk to people who have ever worked, and I don't know if we could find these people, customer service for so many different products that's their job is to feel, I mean, just like Dean sausage call that we were playing yesterday, there's somebody who works at M&M who picks up the phone with people's complaints about the M&M's.
I'm sorry, didn't get peanuts in your M&M's.
Right, how much can they care? Okay, listen.
And how many calls could they get in a year? I always wonder about that. Like, how many people are calling? Here's the number if you have trouble with your Foreman grill. I mean, who's calling that and how often?
Bean's complaining about people.
I'm not complaining. Yes. I'm curious.
Here's the answer for our little group, 1 out of 5.
Yes. It's a scientific study.
That would be Bean. You've done that with so many insignificant things. You're the wrong guy.
Not insignificant. Important things. Eva Longoria did the right thing, and I would have done the exact same thing.
Dear Wonder Bread, I found your crust substandard on your latest loaf of white bread.
I expected wonder, and I did not get it.
There was no wonder in my bread whatsoever. It was completely understandable. We should call it understandable bread.
You know what I'd like to find out? We should open the phone sometime. Is like the best result you ever got from one of these BS complaint calls. Like Eva Longoria Parker, because she's a star, by the way. She got a year's worth of peanut M&M's. But there must be regular Joes out there who bitched about something and got a really cool payoff.
If I remember correctly, Bean in some of his rants has gotten paid pretty well from the companies, right? You've gotten something.
Yeah, sometimes you do, but you're right, Ralph. There are times where a company even goes way beyond what they need to do to satisfy the client. Yeah, that'd be interesting, too.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Joe Mantegna. He is 62 years old today. Frances Conroy, you probably remember her best as the mom from 6 Feet Under. She's 56 years old today. Chris Noth from Law & Order, Criminal Intent, and Sex in the City, and can currently be seen in The Good Wife, which, by the way, is just getting better and better every week. I don't know if you're watching The Good Wife over on CBS.
I haven't seen it.
It's a great show. He is 55 years old today. Actress Whoopi Goldberg is 54. Ron Artest, the latest Laker, is 30 years old today. Monique Coleman from High School Musical celebrates her 29th birthday. One of my personal man crushes, Steve Zahn. One of my favorite actors is 42 years old today, as is our old pal Jimmy Kimmel celebrates his 42nd birthday today. And you know there's something to astrology when Whoopi Goldberg and Jimmy Kimmel share the same birthday.
Yeah, because they're identical.
Have so much in common, those two. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got a major concert announcement for you Monday right here on this program, by the way. It's a little concert that we like to call the Acoustic Christmas 2009 Show. Details are going to be Monday right here. You absolutely will not want to miss it. It's always one of the best shows of the year, as will be Weezer, January 11th at the UCI Brent Event Center. They always put on a great concert. We got tickets for you for that right now, plus a Weezer Snuggie and a copy of their new CD, Ratitude. How are we going to give these away this time, Kevin?
Well, we were thinking Orchestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
All right.
Hey, 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 hey,
and giveaways to the
Thanks, guys. It's like we're sending a text message to every listener saying, turn off the radio. I mean, that's the effect is what we're doing with having you guys start like that.
Right. So here's what we have. We have Psycho Mike and we have Dave, and they're in the other studio, and they will be singing the musical parts of Weezer songs.
Okay.
You got it.
So not the lyrics, but the actual instruments. They will be
instrumental parts of the songs done only with our mouths.
With the mouth organs. Right. So basically the answer is a Weezer song title. You just have to tell us which one. All right, let's begin with Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
You ready for orchestra?
I hope so.
Feel free, by the way, to jump in if you know it and cut them off.
Okay.
All right.
All right, you ready? Here we go.
All right, we get the idea. That's fine. That's all right. That's fine.
Tiffany, what do you think?
I have no idea. I'll just take a wild guess.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Pete Fishin?
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was, my name is Jonas.
Oh, my name is Jonas.
Yeah,
that was horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible.
She was horrible.
You're horrible, bitch. You keep fishing.
Wow, you told her.
Orchestra's angry.
All right, let's go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
All right, you ready for the orchestra?
Yeah.
There we go.
Holiday.
Nice try. Oh. Island in the Sun. We were looking for this.
Oh, I'm eating hot Cheetos.
All right.
It's not as good as Weezer tickets, but thank you for sharing.
It's better than not having them. All right, let's go to Freddie. Freddie, hi.
Oh, good morning.
You ready for the orchestra?
Yes, please. Go on.
All right, Freddie, here we go. Boom, 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 boom,
boom.
Porkabees. Nicely done. That was, by the way, maybe their best rendition right there. That was an easy one.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Now, do we? Is he in a drawing or does he win the prize package here?
I win.
I didn't realize.
I like his confidence.
I didn't realize we were going to you for the answer. You know what? I think we have enough tickets. We could give them tickets.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Way to go, Freddie. Nice job.
Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much.
You hold on. Let's go to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hey.
Here we go.
Anytime, Marilyn, save us.
Sweater?
What did you say? Sweater?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you give us the full title?
Do you want to destroy my sweater?
Oh, those are some of the lyrics.
Walk away and I'll unravel.
Right. That's the gist of what the song means, yes. But it has a title.
Oh, it's painful. You're right.
Yeah. Hey, hey, orchestra.
Yeah. That's fine. She's established which song she's trying to think of the title. I don't know. She knows
sweater?
Which Weezer song we're looking for. I think we're going to give it to you, but it was called Undone, the sweater song, is what we were looking for.
Okay.
But,
yes, you did.
You came out with sweater.
Unravel, which is close to Undone.
And we're going to give it to you, although we technically shouldn't, but we just can't stand hearing the orchestra much longer. So that's what happens. All right.
All right. Who's got the strength for maybe just one more?
Let's go to Larry. Hi, Larry.
Hey, what's up?
Orchestra de la Raza.
Good luck.
Here we go. Beer.
Sorry.
Shut up, bitch. Here we go. All right, listen up. Here we go. Rum bum 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 bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum bum
Nicely done, man.
Let's retire the orchestra for 2010. Who's with me?
No. No, hello? The orchestra would be too angry.
Yeah, more orchestra. Okay, cool.
More.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was the business line ringing.
All right. Thank you, guys. And thanks for playing.
El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. By the way, I got a note from our friend Russ Leatherman, Mr. Movie Phone. Mm-hmm. He stopped by Starbucks this morning on his way to CNN, and there was a homeless guy in the alley listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What?
You're kidding.
Russ wanted to let us know that we've got one. We got one guy out there listening to us. So.
Homeless guy's radio?
Homeless guy apparently has a radio, which I think would be nice. Good way to spend the day. You know,
homeless Kevin, he's not radioless.
I'm saying, sell that for a meal, right?
Nah, well, right. Anyway, I just wanted to give him a big shout out and thanks for continuing to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it. All right, this is a great topic because many people, especially in our audience, have been so drunk that they literally could have died had things gone a different way. And we were reminded of that fact by a story that came out of Boston this week in the subway station.
The woman says she was drunk, trying to stamp out a cigarette. She lost her balance and fell to the tracks of the Boston subway, looking up to see the headlights of an oncoming train. This is what the train operator saw, people frantically waving.
Obviously telling me, you know, slow your train down. Then as I'm approaching, the lady pops her head up, and I'm like, oh, my God, someone's in the pit. So I just threw it in emergency, exactly what I'm supposed to do.
In the nick of time, the train came to a stop. Then folks hauled her back up onto the platform unhurt.
And she had another drink.
Wow.
You need a drink after that experience. Yeah. That sobered her up pretty quick, I can imagine.
The driver of the subway train is coming into the station, and there's three or four people that are just standing there, just frantically waving their arms back and forth, just praying that she stopped. And it looked like in that footage that I saw on CNN that they... I mean, she would have run over that woman if she had gone another 5 feet, it looked like.
Oh, my God.
It was, the train came right up to her. It was amazing.
And the world would be worse? Or
no, but that would have been so traumatic for the woman running the train.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that would have been horrible.
Just because a woman has a few cocktails, Kevin, she deserves to be run over by a train. Is that what you're saying?
That's
the world would be
saying.
A better place if that woman was hit
she's
by a train.
She's that drunk and she's stepping on a cigarette to try to put it out and she falls in front of a train. What's
if
she
sloppy drunkenness, Kevin, was the barometer of who should be taken off the planet Earth,
point taken.
We may not be having this conversation with you right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about
that. Wow, right, commuters can't have a drink. Homeless people can't have radios. What kind of crazy futuristic world are we living in all of a sudden?
Very tight rules.
So we started talking about things that you did that were super dangerous or possibly life-threatening when you were drunk. And Ralph has one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
I don't know about greatest stories.
I'm telling you.
Don't oversell it.
Let's hear it.
I went through a phase in my young drinking career where I liked to climb buildings when I got drunk enough. And I had some friends who were in an apartment, a first floor apartment. And by first floor, I mean there was like a subterranean garage where the people in the apartment building would park. And then there was another, and then, you know, a floor above that. Was the first floor of apartments. So I decided to crawl up the outside of the building and climb into the balcony and enter the apartment that way. Because I thought, wouldn't that be a funny surprise if I came in from outside on the patio?
Hey, guys, how's it
going? Hey, what's going on? As if I had been there the whole time.
Right, that's funny.
Plus, you had a little bit of a Spider-Man fetish, so already it sounds like fun to you.
So I'm climbing up the building, and I got to the balcony, and I went to throw my leg over the balcony, and I lost my balance. And I fell off the balcony to the driveway down below, which, as I mentioned, is a story down below.
So is that like 15 feet?
I guess. Yeah, whatever a story would be.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, by the way, I learned that night as well that... Every time you see in the movies someone who's fallen off a building and they grab hold of with one hand, they grab hold of like a flagpole or a balcony railing
which
or something.
Which happens a lot.
And they're dangling from it and they catch themselves. That does not happen.
Not possible.
Does not. No. Because I went to grab myself and dangle and no, your fingers aren't holding up that weight when you got a good head of steam.
You're in free fall? No.
Exactly.
No.
So I plummet to the ground. And I landed on my feet, but because of the distance and the speed and the alcohol consumption, my legs buckled and I ended up flat on my back, but my feet, if this makes any sense, were my legs were bent so that my feet were next to my hips.
Both
feet.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm on my back. My knees are bent, and my calves and thighs are flat to the ground, and my feet are up on either side of me, up near my hips.
That's what the bodies look like when the Trinity Killer throws him out of the building on Dexter, right? Yeah. He's just squashed onto the ground in all sorts of like pretzel conditions.
Yeah.
Did you start crying?
No.
Yelling?
No. I rolled over once. I was stunned naturally. I laid there for a little bit, and then I rolled over and I said, "This is embarrassing and scary. I need to get back." I was half sitting for a home at the time.
Okay,
not getting an ambulance. No, I need to get in my car and get out of here. So I went to get up, and I found out my legs would not work. My knees wouldn't lock. I couldn't walk.
Oh my God!
So I did the Marine crawl on my belly and my elbows to my car.
How far was that? Was it pretty close?
I plucked about half a block away.
Oh, wow! Yeah. That's a long way when you have broken knees doing the Marine crawl.
And then I pulled myself up onto the car and opened the door and slid into the driver's seat. And then I realized I couldn't operate the pedals of the car.
Yeah, because you can't push your leg.
Right. So I was using my hands on my knees and operating my legs with my hands as I drove.
So you'd push the knee
manually.
And had the foot on the gas pedal.
Exactly. I would push down on that leg on the gas pedal and then push down on the other leg for the brake while I was steering.
That didn't hurt too much to even consider?
The legs weren't really painful that time. They just weren't working.
Oh, okay. Like shock.
And Ralph, in retrospect, was that a safe way to operate a motor vehicle?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so luckily I was sitting at this house that was nearby. So I pulled up and I pulled myself out of the car and then had to crawl once again up to the front door.
You didn't go to the hospital with you?
Pull myself up on the doorknob, unlock the door, let myself in, crawl onto the couch. And finally passed out in the living room.
Wow. Was there a trail of blood all the way in?
No, it was no bleeding.
Wow.
Did it, you were talking about the lady in the subway, did it sober you up when you hit the ground?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
a lot of
adrenaline starts pumping and you start going into survival mode and panic mode.
Wow.
And I fell asleep on the couch, woke up the next morning, and wrapped both knees in ACE bandages because I didn't have any health insurance.
And then went to the hospital.
No, and then I picked up a baseball bat that had been in the corner of the room and used that as a cane.
And went on your way to the hospital?
For about a week. And then I actually borrowed a cane from another friend of mine for another week. And it took about 2 or 3 weeks before my legs would operate again.
So you never went to the hospital?
Never went to the hospital, no.
How much did they hurt the next day when you woke up? Because I would imagine that would have been the worst.
You don't know. Yeah. All the ligaments and everything were completely stretched out.
Oh.
And that's when you go to the hospital?
No, no.
Did you start drinking again?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. My man. Yes.
Hey, how are you going to dull the pain unless you have a couple cocktails?
True.
So I just think about that night, and I think if I had slipped the wrong way or fallen backwards onto my back or head.
Yeah, you're gone.
I shiver every time I think about that stupid moment because I would have probably cracked my skull open and died.
And
no one would have known until the next day when they found me in a pool of my own blood.
That's right. And that night, I mean, that's the only reason you didn't make it in the NFL, right? Was because of that injury.
Because of the knees?
That's right.
Because of the knees. You'd be playing today.
That's going to be the next Rocky Blyer.
I don't know the reference.
Old running back for the Steelers.
Okay. All right.
Who had 1 foot.
Not much of a running back.
He was.
So, really?
He's a hopping back.
So Ralph cheated death while drunk, as did the woman in Boston on the subway platform. The phones are jammed, but we're going to get through as many as we can when we come back. We want to hear your calls, too. You did something, and you're lucky to be alive while you were drunk. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about people who barely escaped death while they were drunk. It's pretty easy to do dumb things that you would never do if you were sober when you're super inebriated, and sometimes it almost results in the end. So why don't we start with, we got a lot of great calls here. Let's see if we can get Chris on line one, go through as many as we can and find out how you cheated death while drinking. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What'd you do, man?
All right. Well, this was about like 5 years ago. I was on.
Oh,
wow.
Sorry.
He's drunk now.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm working right now.
All right.
The stupid bus driver stopped in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard, which allows, how much room on both sides? None. Two lanes on both sides. I was the first one to get on the bus.
Okay.
I stepped out, and my friend pulls me from behind. Three cars go whizzing by me. Like, if I stepped out, I would have been dead.
If your friend didn't grab you, you'd be dead.
Wow.
How
about
that? And then I actually saved his life in the same bus ride, because it was the kind of, like, that the middle turns, or you know what I'm saying, like it collapses.
The middle.
Well,
I don't even think I need to understand what you're talking about. But thank you for the call, Chris. It sounds like the world is so lucky you're still alive. Let's try Alex on line five. This sounds intriguing. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How'd you cheat death?
Well, make a long story short, I was in the bathroom. I'd gotten sick, and I was passed out standing up in the bathroom sink, and it just started overflowing.
Wait, you were standing up in the bathroom sink?
Or like leaning?
Well, like leaning over the bathroom sink.
And the water was on.
And the water was on, and it started backing up, and I basically almost drowned when they found me. And there was also a plugged-in face shaver or whatever.
Nice.
Electric grate teetering on the edge, getting ready to fall. So when they found me, they found me at that moment.
Wow.
Whoa.
He
drowned in a sink full of water. That would have been quite a story.
No kidding.
I would have drowned and they would have electrocuted my face.
It wouldn't be a very well-told story because he'd be dead. But
right.
It would be a good story.
And for your friends, it'd be a good story.
Thank you for the call.
Let's try Quinn, line 7 on the Kevin DeBede Show. You were drunk. You did something that could have, should have killed you. Hi, Quinn. What happened?
How are you doing this morning?
Good.
I was doing a handstand on a balcony, according to my friends, in Mazzotti's in Huntington Beach. Fell and hit a cement mixer, about 27 feet.
Oh, my God.
And you have no memory of trying to do a handstand on a balcony. You would never do that if you weren't drinking.
No, I never did handstands, but rumor says, and my friend said, awesome. Me, and I woke up like 20 hours later in the hospital.
Wow.
So, I have pictures, I show people.
What were your injuries?
Nothing real. I mean, just major facial. I didn't break my nose. I had stitches in my eyeballs and stitches in my mouth.
Ouch.
Oh, dear God.
I was luckier than hell, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Hey, it just occurred to me that our follow-up question for each of these calls, we'll start with Quinn, is did you stop drinking after that or slow down?
I quit mixing all the different things I was on.
Okay, so you decided just to do one
legal
at a time.
Legal and non-legal.
Sure, of course.
I gotcha. All right.
Okay, so no more. Thank you very much. Let's try Carrie on line 8. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for calling the Kevin DeBede Show. What happened to you?
How's it going, guys? I jumped off a 6-foot wall in my backyard into a 3-foot doughboy pool on concrete. And went to bed, woke up the next morning, and my bed was covered in blood. So I went down to the hospital and took 13 staples in the head and cracked 2 vertebrae.
In your back?
Whoa.
Wow.
Dude.
In my backyard.
Did you stop drinking?
For about a week.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Did you have any memory of diving into that pool, or did somebody have to tell you about it the next day?
When I woke up and couldn't move, I knew something went wrong, and then they told me what happened. And I went, oh, God, here we go again. I just blew that pool up and filled it up that day, too.
Yes.
And my uncle told me, do not dive in the pool. I know somebody paralyzed from this.
Right.
And I did it anyway.
And you said, okay, sure enough.
Wow.
Yeah, Jack was speaking.
Yeah, I hear you.
And you broke your back. That's awesome. Thank you for the call.
Jack doesn't usually give you good advice,
if I could just say that. How about Rich on line 3? This might be a good one to end with. This is great.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
What did you do?
What did I do? Well, I was at a Norco County Fair.
Okay.
Proceeding to leave the park, and there were cops on horseback, and we were walking out, and I was facing the exit, and all of a sudden I feel this smack in the back of the head. I whip around and I hit the first thing that's there, and it just so happened it was one of the cops on a horse.
You punched the cop's horse?
Right in the nose.
With him on it?
With the cop on it.
See, this is a different way of cheating death. By the way, I love that you feel something behind you, so your reaction is to turn around and just start swinging. Don't even wait and see what it is yet.
Drunken stupidity. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just hit the first thing that was there, and the horse reared up, threw the cop. And I got jumped by 6-7 sheriffs, and they just pummeled me like a
rag doll,
like Rodney King.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
did you stop drinking?
I don't know, probably about 24 hours.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And by the way, if we were taking calls from the horses, no picnic for him either.
That's when the horse started drinking.
Exactly. Thanks for the call. Meet you on the other
side. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Glad to see the crash test dummies are still doing well.
It's
mm-hmm.
6:55.
F that song.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. By the way, I don't want to say anything. You mentioned Crash Test Dummies. I don't want to give anything away. But Monday, right here on the Kevin DeVee Show, details on Acoustic Christmas. I'm just saying. I don't want to get everyone's hopes up. But now that they're back, who knows? They could be playing, right?
Love those guys.
Time for the, by the way, Tony Hawk next hour. Dr. Drew, Adam Carolla is still to come. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, Playboy magazine.
Yes.
It's been hitting low after low after low these days. And after Marge Simpson and Chelsea Handler, I figured they were done, right? We're not going to see any more hideous women in the pages of Playboy, right?
Because where do you go from there, right?
Because Playboy has pretty women in it, right? That's how they
it's
roll.
Supposed to.
Well, that's the normal. Yeah, that's their M.O.
Yeah. Tara Reid, apparently, going to be in the pages of Playboy.
A very airbrushed Tara Reid.
They're going to have to forget airbrush. They're just going to need to get a regular paintbrush and just paint over her pictures.
Are these,
preferably something black.
Are these photos that were taken 15 years ago?
No, apparently it's a new shoot.
Oh.
It's a new shoot for the January edition of Playboy magazine. I'm scared. Yeah. Someone hold me.
They're doing everything they can to say, do not buy our magazine.
I don't know why they want to drive me away. I want to love them so much, and they keep pushing me away.
I wonder if it's a loss leader at this point. Somehow, for tax reasons, they need the magazine to fail so they can, I don't know.
Rosie O'Donnell on the cover.
Looks like they've got a buyer, by the way, Playboy.
Really? Somebody's going to buy it?
Apparently, Playboy stock soared more than 60% after Bloomberg News reported that they're in talks to sell themselves to a company called Icon, Iconics Brand Group. And they own Candies and London Fog clothing brands, and they've been in the business with Playboy doing their fashion for some time now, the clothes that they have the Playboy logo and stuff.
Right.
So it looks like they may sell the magazine and TV production arms of Playboy to them as well.
Do they get the mansion and all that? The
mansion is company owned.
How about that?
But I guess they'll let Hef live out his days there, I can only imagine. But.
Yeah, what's 3 weeks, right?
But the magazine has been struggling. How dare you, sir? His mom lived to be like 102 or something.
Really?
Yeah, his family has a long genetic predisposition for long life. So.
Yeah, but his mom didn't have to listen to 20-year-olds talk all day.
That's true. He does do that. Shannon Moakler, speaking of Playmates, got into a cat fight with Khloe Kardashian the other day.
Oh, no.
That's not a fair fight.
It's not a cat fight either, by the way. It's more like a cow fight. Apparently, she was on Wendy Williams. Ever watch the Wendy Williams show?
I see the clips on the soup.
Nope.
It is the most spectacular car wreck on television.
Only on the soup. Same here.
Recap. Shannon Moakley was on there and called Khloe Kardashian a donkey.
What's their problem?
I don't know, but Khloe snapped back on her Twitter account saying she had no idea who Shannon was. Meow. Well, then why are you responding to what she said on Twitter, by the way? Apparently, I don't know what the two have a problem with each other, but it's a big cat.
It's on.
I'm surprised Khloe can use Twitter. I mean, with those hands and those fingers. How does she touch a keyboard?
Big sausage fingers for her.
Yeah.
Big ham hocks.
Must be voice recognition.
It's like Andre the Giant's hands.
I would like to point out the girls have given up on defending her.
Yeah,
have you noticed that?
Yeah, because she's a beast.
What? Part of it is because you actually saw her in person and said that we were wrong. Yes.
Well,
so because
Mike
a lot
says
of times,
it.
Well, he saw her in person.
Yeah, but Mike's wrong a lot.
Right, but
I believe him.
We were saying, you know, Kim is her sister and Courtney's her sister. They're so beautiful. It must just be because she's next to them.
Right.
No. But then when you really look, like the first Laker game, you really look and you go, oh my God.
Pan face.
What a beast.
Someone hit her with a frying pan.
And like 23-inch guns. I mean, just big
arms are better than,
she's bigger a mess.
Than all Mike's so jealous.
She's a mess.
I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
That's what I'm saying. And good news for Saw fans, despite the so-so performance of its predecessor this year. There will be a Saw 7 just announced.
Yes.
Great. Next year, Saw 7 Halloween, this time in 3D. Great. Jigsaw, are you excited about that, Jigsaw?
I'm really tired of playing games. I've been dead for like 3 movies.
Yeah, right. That's pretty good, Jigsaw.
Like they should film this one in a guy's house for $11,000. That's how it's done now.
Really? Today's celebrity birthday is Joe Mantegna. Is 62 years old today. Frances Conroy celebrates her 56th birthday. Chris Noth from Law & Order and Sex and the City is 55. Whoopi Goldberg's 54 years old today. Steve Zahn, one of my
my favorite actors of all time is 42 years old. Lakers forward Ron Artest celebrates his 30th birthday. Monique Coleman from High School Musical is 29. And our good great pal Jimmy Kimmel celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Happy birthday, Jims. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That song ended, and it's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:09.
It is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph has the movie beat. He'll be reviewing 2012, among other films coming up, and the great Tony Hawk joins us in just a few minutes. Ooh, time for Han Solo talk. Hey, how did it come up? How did Harrison Ford's name come up in the office this week? Why were we speculating about whatever happened to his alleged marriage to Calista Flockhart from Brothers and Sisters?
Ralph was doing showbiz, and it was her birthday.
Right, that's
okay.
Right.
And then we were like, did they ever, I don't remember if they got married or they were
either.
Engaged or what the story was exactly.
Well, I think we heard at least that they definitely got engaged. At least that was reported. Although they're pretty private, so it's tough to kind of find out what the real deal is. But did they follow through and get married? And we thought, you know, we haven't checked in with Harrison Ford in a while, so maybe it's time to get him back on the Kevin and Bean Show because he can fill us in on what's really happening. Hi, Mr. Ford.
Are you there? We're having trouble hearing you. Can you speak up just a little bit, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We were having a discussion about Calista Flockhart and if you are married to her or not. Or did you? What?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It sounds like we interrupted you. Were you saying something, Mr. Ford?
Yeah, I'm married.
What?
I don't.
Did anyone?
Calista Flockhart. You know Ally McBeal. You know who we're talking about?
Sure.
Are you married?
Well,
I can't try it hard.
I'm listening as much as I can, but I can't. I think he's still talking. I don't know what he's saying. Are you?
What was that?
You still have your Indiana Jones whip?
Okay.
I don't know why you would be using that on a telephone call to a radio station, but okay.
Play Star Wars theme.
because you're freaking Han Solo from Star Wars.
To be honest,
one of the most iconic movie characters ever.
To be honest, we couldn't find the Indiana Jones theme.
Oh, okay.
We went there first, but we couldn't find it.
All right, Harrison, we're going to let you get back.
If you had a lightsaber, that might make more sense.
Now. Because of the music.
All right. Now, the sound effects you can do, those we can hear, but we can't hear the answer to the question.
Okay.
All right, we're going to let you go back to your carpentry or whatever it is you're doing, but we just need an answer to this question about whether you are married to Calista Flockhart or not.
Did you?
Listen, my personal life.
Personal life.
We're going to put it in public.
All right, let me put it another way. I apologize for interrupting, but I can't make out what you're saying. You've been together for more than 8 years. Is it time to put a ring on it?
Wow. Is that a yes?
Put a ring on it, really?
Well, if you like it.
Then you really should.
I'm gonna put that in the file.
Harrison Ford just told me.
How do you know
the
about the file?
Yeah.
Married or not, yes or no? Okay. All right, let's try something else. One whip for yes.
There you go.
Two whips for no.
Okay.
Married or... Well, that was three.
What does that mean?
It means F you.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, minutes away from Tony Hawk right now. Ralph's got the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting weekend at Cineplexes. Some unlikely films coming out this weekend. Different kinds of films for different kinds of folks.
Excellent.
So we've got a good selection this weekend. Of course, the big budget disaster movie 2012 is coming out, starring John Cusack and Woody Harrelson. Here's the thing. It is directed by Roland Emmerich. I am not a fan of this guy's. He's the guy who brought us... he did Independence Day, which was a big hit for him.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which does not stand up, by the way, if you watch that movie again. It's all special effects.
I thought that was
some real cheesy dialogue.
I thought that was pretty good, but yeah. I don't remember the dialogue.
And then remember Godzilla? Remember The Day After Tomorrow?
Whoa, whoa. He did Godzilla?
Yeah, yeah.
That is one of the worst movies of all time.
Yeah. Day After Tomorrow, horrible. Whoa. That 10,000 BC piece of crap that came out last year, remember that? Wow. Yep. This guy is just a hack.
Well,
that's
he's
a
consistent.
Body of work right there.
So this thing looks once again to be his kind of film, which is special effects heavy. You do get to see Los Angeles pretty much just erupting off the face of the earth.
I like seeing those special effects, but then I hate walking away going, wow, that was just special effects. And
yeah, mm-hmm. Looks like you have to choke down a lot of bad dialogue and acting in this movie.
But there's some good eye candy, and it looks cool.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's what we know going in, right? Yeah. And then you got people like John Cusack and Woody Harrelson who are obviously just slumming for a paycheck in this thing. Here's a scene between the two of them, and see if they can generate any less enthusiasm for the dialogue that they're forced to speak in this film.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me.
What are the chances that their names are Eric and Mr. Khan?
I know. They don't sound good.
Here's the actual clip.
I was listening to the broadcast, and I was wondering, what exactly is it that's going to start in Hollywood?
The Judgment Day, the end of the world, my friend. Christians called it the rapture, but the Mayans knew about it.
In ancient times, the Mayan people were the first civilization to discover that this planet had an expiration date. In the year 2012, a cataclysmic event will unfold caused by an alignment of the planets in our solar system that only happens every 640,000 years.
Feasible.
A lot of historical, metaphysical gobbledygook to blow up the world, basically, is what you're getting set up for there. So,
all right.
Take it as with a grain of salt, let's say.
You know what it is?
Exactly. Yes. Fantastic Mr. Fox also opens this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing this. George Clooney, Meryl Streep, Bill Murray stars the voices in the stop-motion animation from Wes Anderson. It is based on the book by Roald Dahl, who gave us, of course, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as well, Willy Wonka. Great children's author. And by all accounts, this is the feel-good movie of the holiday season. Definitely want to check it out. Here's a scene where George Clooney stars as the fantastic Mr. Fox, who is having a battle with Mr. Badger, played by Bill Murray, who is also his real estate agent. Mr. Fox wants to buy a tree near some angry farmers, and I think Mr. Badger's trying to talk him out of it.
In summation, I think you just got to not do it, man. That's all.
I understand what you're saying, and your comments are valuable, but I'm going to ignore your advice.
The cuss you are.
The cuss am I? Are you cussing with me?
No, you cussing with me.
Don't cuss and point
you're
at me.
You're going to cuss with somebody. You're not going to cuss with me, you little cuss.
Great actors doing the voices of a great story. And Wes Anderson, I love his work.
So. Mm-hmm. Darjeeling Limited, Royal Tenenbaums, Rushmore. He's like Spike Jones. He's one of those guys who's always interesting, whatever he does.
Yeah. Fantastic Mr. Fox is in limited release this weekend and then opens wider on the 25th. So you can check that out. And a movie I actually saw this week was Pirate Radio. Story of the late 60s in the UK, where the BBC, the state-owned radio system there in England, would only play 1 hour of popular music a day on their radio stations. The rest of it was all classical and big band music for the older folks and that kind of stuff.
They didn't have a lot of choices like we do. It was government-run radio.
That's it.
Yeah.
So as a response, they started to set up these offshore radio stations, largely on these ferries and boats that they would park just outside the jurisdiction of the British government, and they would play rock and roll music 24 hours, 7 days a week. And these DJs became heroes and legend to the young people of England who would, you know, sneak their radios into bed at night and turn it on and listen covertly so their parents would know they're listening to the evil pirate radio. It became quite a concern for the British government. They didn't like the content of the radio, which was sometimes more risque. As you can imagine, 1966, when this movie takes place.
Sure.
They weren't too thrilled with it. They felt it was the downfall of British youth as we know it. And several politicians in the UK decided to outlaw pirate radio. This movie is based on all these true events, and Kenneth Branagh is one of the actors who stars in this film. It's got an amazing cast of very likable British actors. He plays Sir Alistair Dormandy, who is leading the political outcry against the pirate radios. Here's a scene from Pirate Radio.
I have told the Prime Minister that we will shut them down within 12 months.
As you will see, sir, they're not, in fact, outside of the law at the moment, sir.
They soon will be, won't they, Mr. Fredericks? You see, that's the whole point of being the government. If you don't like something, you simply make up a new law that makes it illegal. Speaking of which...
Yes, sir.
I think we might also start working on legislation to outlaw that haircut of yours.
You don't like it, sir?
No one likes it. apart from blind people. And I'm sure even they can sense its profound ugliness as it passes by. I'll give you a day to deal with the hair.
That's funny.
It's a very funny movie. The cast is outstanding. You've got Bill Nighy, who I love. Nick Frost, who if you ever saw Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz with Simon Pegg, his partner in those movies. He is great. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the only American DJ on the ship, the Count, who they all sort of look up to. You got Rhys Darby from Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
Love, love, love.
You got Rhys Iffins from Notting Hill, who plays the cool and suave British DJ on the ship.
Which one was he? He was the skinny, ugly one?
He was the skinny, ugly roommate.
Yeah. Yeah. Really funny, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he looks like a sort of a bizarre Tom Petty in this movie. He's all decked out in velvet coats and everything. He's a very cool British DJ. Great soundtrack if you love 60s British rock and roll, as I do. And it is a very fun film with some great characters, some great acting. It is a very entertaining 2 hours, and I can recommend it highly. And also, it's an extra bonus for us, is there's a character on the ship, one of the DJs, who's known as Thick Kevin.
Oh, come on!
And I don't know if you're familiar with British slang or not, but if someone is thick in England, it means they're dense or they're stupid or they are just not that with it. They're sort of dunderheaded. They're sort of thick.
I think people get it.
So, Thick Kevin.
My nickname in college was Thick E.
This is a very different kind of thick. This is Thick Kevin, who becomes the roommate of Carl, who's sort of our young protagonist in the film. We kind of learn everyone. We see everyone through his eyes. Here is his first introduction to Thick Kevin.
I'm Thick Kevin.
Ah, your delightful roommate. Oh,
great.
I'm Carl.
Cool name.
Why Thick Kevin?
Oh, I did.
It's because he's really, really thick.
Yeah.
How come Kevin always has to be the retard?
That's what we'd like to know.
You watch The
That's
Office?
That's what we ask almost every day here at work.
You watch The Office, Kevin's the bumbling idiot. Yeah. Now this. Come on!
So every time you were watching Pirate Radio and you see Thick Kevin on screen, you can get a little giggle knowing that we've got our own Thick Kevin here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's great.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
Tony Hawk, pro skater before he could drive, winner of 9 X Game gold medals, holder of the best win record in pro skating, and star of one of the most renowned and successful video game series of all time.
Hawk has stacked up the difficulty factor from start to now.
My career in skating has lasted so long because I continue to challenge myself. The fact that you can skate in your own style and create your own way is why I've been doing it for so long. It's what I love about it.
I've had about 15, 20 concussions. Knocked out my front teeth, 2 knee surgeries on each knee, and rubbed my elbow here. I got a couple screws in it.
Tony comes back, setting up. He gets a good setup there, and he lands it. Standing up, no squat.
You know, I'm trying to offer people a chance to feel the exhilaration and the control of skating without having to go out and get hurt and practice it for years and years.
Gymnastics has its Nadia, but skateboarding has Hawk.
All these years later, he is still the biggest name in the sport. He helped popularize around the world, and we're always excited when we get a chance to spend a few minutes with our friend Tony Hawk back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tony, how are you, man?
Good morning.
Great to talk to you. I know you have had a brutal, brutal schedule. I follow your tweets, and I got to tell you, I'm exhausted just imagining the stuff that you get up and have to do every day.
Well, I kind of feel like I'm living at K-Rock. I just did Loveline until the end last night.
You did that last night. Great calls, I hope, about really, really personal stuff that makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of, you know, STDs and how they relate to my new game.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the new game. Kevin and I have been talking about this off the air. It does look like every once in a while something comes along that is such a major step forward that you go, wow, I can't believe this day is finally here. And Tuesday is the day that Tony Hawk Ride comes out. Tell folks who haven't heard why this is so cool.
Well, basically, we created a game with a skateboard controller. It's a board you stand on. It's a peripheral, but it's not just a gimmick. It's actually full of technology. It's got motion sensors of any movement you do to it. It's got infrared sensors, so it knows if your hands are coming in, you know, like, and your character will appropriately grab that part of the board. Or you can, like, shuffle your feet next to it so it knows you're pushing. And it's what I'm hoping is that this board we've created is sort of a flagship for other games, so that we can create other games just around this hardware, as opposed to saying that we're going to update this next year. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this hardware can go a long way. We're way ahead of the curve.
Now, I saw one of the skateboards in the video store when I went to get Modern Warfare, and it was already out. Was that How is that possible if it doesn't come out until Tuesday?
Well, you know, it ships on Tuesday. We have production copies. So.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of showing you what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably a dummy board. I hope it's a dummy board at GameStop.
Well, it does seem like this is that step toward virtual reality where you're really going to feel like you're doing it because the graphics are so realistic. And as you said, you know, every little muscle move that you make on the board is reflected on the screen. I mean, look, you're the best guy in the world to ask this question when you're on it. How close is it to feeling like a real skateboarding experience?
It's pretty intuitive. I mean, you know, it's not if you're an experienced skater and you get on, you start moving it like a real skateboard. Those motions are a little too quick and exaggerated to register in the game. So you just kind of learn to make your move subtly, and also it helps if you have never skated, you get on it and it's not intimidating.
It's not impossible.
You realize that these short movements will go a long way, and it's awesome. I mean, I showed it to on the Bonnie Hunt show yesterday. She got on it literally in heels and was doing kickflip 50/50s. So.
Well, that is too easy. If that's the case, it's too easy. No? Now, Tony, let me ask you this question, because it seems like this is unique in that when you play Guitar Hero, for example, the people who really play the guitar have a really hard time playing the game because it's not the same. This sounds like it's sort of the same as skateboarding, but just kind of not as extreme.
Yeah, I mean, people get it pretty quickly who do skate. You know, we have the biggest learning curve on our game is learning how to turn, because when you are standing on a board that doesn't moving and you turn, you tend to exaggerate the turns. Kind of like when you first play a car racing game and you just overturn each corner.
You just go wall to wall to wall to wall trying to straighten it out. Yeah.
That takes a little bit of getting used to, but in the beginning mode, in the casual mode, we actually have the steering done for you. So you just learn how to time the tricks, basically.
Wow. Oh, I see. I gotcha. And how complex a trick can you do on Tony Hawk Ride?
Well, you can do combos to your heart's content. So, you know, if you learn the technique of landing tricks in a manual, which is basically landing in a wheelie, where you're physically doing this sort of wheelie, you can just go through the whole level in doing one trick for 2 minutes long if you really are feeling it.
Wow. Soundtrack looks great.
Yeah, I like to think always, but yeah, I'm proud of this one for sure.
Beck, MGMT, Modest Mouse, NoFX, Queens of the Stone Age, Rack and Tours, a bunch of great bands that are on there.
Yeah.
So it sounds fantastic.
I've you know, this is something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I never felt like the technology was ready. And then I brought this idea to Activision about 2 years ago, and they were excited, and we went off and running. I mean, I haven't been as involved in the game since the very first one we did.
Wow. It really does look like amazing technology. And just so people understand, by the way, although it sounds like we would be talking about something that would just be for Wii, you've made this for everybody.
Yeah. We don't want to play favorites.
So Xbox 360, PS3, Wii as well. So whatever system you have, you can get this. Is there somebody that they take on? Like, do we take on you and try to get past a certain level?
You just play as the characters in the game, or you can make your own. But you know, we have a sort of pro roster that covers the gamut of skating and skating eras as well.
You have some of the old school guys that you can be, right?
Yeah, like Christian Ostoy is in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the newer guys like Ryan Scheckler, Stevie Williams. We've got Lindsay Adams. We've got. I mean, the roster is ridiculous.
Wow. This looks fantastic. I got to tell you, I can't wait. It comes out on Tuesday. It's called Tony Hawk Ride, and it's an actual skateboard size thing that you get on and you actually ride it.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I wish I would have bought it because I think that was
the title. You're not riding me.
That's true. That's a movie that I read last weekend. Very different.
That was called Ride Tony Hawk. Right. That was completely different. Right.
Very different.
Tony, you're the best. You're still the hardest working guy I know. I'm in awe of all the stuff you do, but you got to feel like it really, the hours pay off when you get to present something like this to your fans that they've never seen before. So we wish you the best of luck with it. And I guess I would be remiss if I didn't mention holidays are just around the corner. Be a nice gift, right, Tony?
Yeah, I hope so.
Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Tony.
Hey!
Hey! Woo!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 10 minutes till 8.
Is Dr. Drew where fun goes to die? Is he here yet? Ready to come in the next next
he
segment?
He is one of my favorite people on the planet. He's
not where fun goes to die.
Man.
He's awesome as long as you don't want to have sex. Then all of a sudden he's like, oh, you can't do that. Oh, no touching. Stay away from her.
He is pro-sex. I just think he wants healthy sex as opposed to problematic and dysfunctional sex.
But Bean only knows problematic and dysfunctional.
Right. That's true.
He doesn't know healthy.
I'm just saying anything that's standing in the way of me occasionally getting mine is got to be a bad thing. That's all. All right. We'll catch up with Dr. Drew, the host of Sex Rehab on VH1 coming up next. Adam Carolla in the final hour of today's show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Friday. What's going on?
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are pretty much Hollywood's royalty.
Yeah.
But there's a new book coming out.
Yeah, they're ugly.
Sorry, we need another one. There you go.
It's a new book coming out saying there has been lots of trouble in paradise for the unmarried parents of six.
Well, that's right there, the parents of six. There's going to be trouble.
Us Weekly reports that according to this biography that's coming out called Brangelina, The Untold Story of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they have broken up so many times, people have lost count. What we don't know is they've been splitting up and getting back together again, on again, off again, since 1998.
98?
Yeah.
Before he married Jennifer Aniston?
Oh, I don't know when they got together.
Too far back.
Also, it says that, here's where I got the 98 from. Angelina apparently was so depressed and distraught back in 1998 that she hired a hitman to put her out of her misery. She took out a contract on herself.
For real?
That's what the book claims.
For reals?
That's what the book claims. I don't know if it's for real or not, but that's what's in this book. That she hired she took out a contract on herself.
Well, he wasn't very good.
Hired a hitman. Well, maybe she canceled it. That's a nice thing about being your own employee there.
Yeah, that's true.
You get to call the shots.
You know that whole thing about killing me? Let's not do that.
Yeah. He's like, oh, sorry, I have a no return policy.
I don't know anything about it. I don't even know who wrote this book, but I'm willing to bet he didn't talk to Brad or Angelina about it.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. No. Where's the fun in that? Then you have to write the truth.
That's
not interesting. Jude Law and Sienna Miller are seeing each other again. Talk about dysfunctional sex.
Yeah.
Us Weekly reports that the couple, who, of course, famously used to be engaged until it was discovered that Jude Law was having an affair with his kid's nanny. Since they're both starring on Broadway in New York and they are single, they have been hooking up, but according to friends, aren't seriously dating. They're just sort of friends with benefits these days.
Okay.
That works for them, I think.
I want to be starring on Broadway Hamlet, living in a penthouse apartment in New York City, and have Sienna Miller as my friend with benefits.
Yeah.
That's the life that I want to have.
Is she the best chick ever?
Like, yes.
She just seems... always these stories about her just casual sex and
she's
not a problem.
And if you're married and have four kids, it's not a problem. And she just gets naked, puts on a captain hat, and just rides you.
We've got to keep her away from Dr. Drew.
That's right. She's on the next
He'll put a stop to that.
First, David Letterman. Now another blackmail attempt against a celebrity. I don't know if you heard about this one or not. Cindy Crawford and her husband Randy Gerber.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, what's the blackmail? Why the male got to be black, first of all?
Their former nanny had a photograph of their then 7-year-old daughter tied to a chair and gagged.
What?
What?
Yeah. Reportedly, the photo was taken as some sort of game that the nanny was playing with the daughter. And the parents didn't know about this.
Okay.
She picks up some German wannabe actor/model who finds the photograph, steals it, and then goes to Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber and offers to sell it to them for $100,000 or else the picture is going to end up in the tabloids.
Oh,
so they didn't know about it either.
No.
Wow.
Anyway, Cindy and her husband did the right thing and filed a federal criminal complaint against this dude over the extortion attempt, and the cops found him and deported him back to Germany this week. But,
wow.
That's gotta suck. On so many different levels.
I guess he shopped the photo to Harvey. And, as usual, Harvey passed because he doesn't want anybody to see anything that's fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, 7-year-old bound and gagged is fun.
I'm just saying, Harvey, I'm down on everybody today. I'm sorry. Harvey says no to everything. Dr. Drew says no to everybody. Come on, people, lighten up.
I'm just saying, imagine, first of all, the feeling that you get when this guy shows you this picture and demands money.
Yeah.
But then when you realize that it's your nanny, someone you trusted your kid with, who took the photo in the first place.
That's
betrayal on many levels. That is just bad.
That is bad.
Speaking of bad, Dane Cook, who I recently said is told you he's getting out of acting. He's going to be strictly a stand-up comedian these days. He said that he may reconsider.
What?
He told MTV News that he would like to star as the Riddler in the next Batman movie.
Yes.
If they bring back the Riddler the way they did with the Joker, that would be badass. I would do that, he told MTV News.
Oh, so he's choosing his own role.
No one's asking you, Dane, to be the Riddler in the next Batman movie. And if you are, I will come after you. There will be hell to pay.
This is what's weird, is that first he came out and said he was going to stop acting, and now he's like making a list of demands of the really great roles that he will do.
Well, he's such a good actor. But
like Ralph just said, no one would have ever asked him, and no one would let him do these roles.
No, that won't happen.
Because he's bad.
Right. But he said he would come out. Retirement for the Riddler role.
I'd like to say I would do the Riddler role as well.
All right. Kevin's also putting his hat in the ring. Me too. And sometimes, I get these stories, and I go to the tabloid websites and the entertainment news websites, and I pick these stories out for the Showbiz Beat, and I put them together, and I have to wonder sometimes how it qualifies as news.
Right.
This is one of those. Us Weekly Magazine says, I'm going to read it to you verbatim. Okay. Jennifer Aniston knows how to let loose. The actress attended a friend's wedding and got a little tipsy and danced the night away. How is that news?
No!
That's the whole thing?
That's the story. She went to a friend's wedding and drank and danced. Isn't what every broad does at every wedding ever?
Sure.
Come on, Us Weekly. Work a little harder for your cash.
It's not
a story.
Not who she was dancing with.
No! She knows how to cut loose. She went to a wedding and drank and danced.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
That's right.
But aren't they the ones that have the pictures of celebrities that are just like us?
Celebrities are just like us.
Carrying their grocery bags. I mean,
maybe that's from that section.
That whole magazine.
Actresses drink and dance just like us.
Ridiculous.
And speaking of hot actresses, ABC has announced they have ordered a pilot for a modern version of the classic 1970s TV show Charlie's Angels.
All right.
I'm all aboard.
They could remake that one as many times as they want. Hot chicks being.
The original Charlie's Angels was on in 1976, by the way.
Was it really?
That's like a million years ago. Then, of course, it was a popular movie in 2000 with Drew Barrymore and Lucy Liu and Cameron Diaz. Hi. A popular sequel as well. And now it's coming full circle, coming back to television. Which is good news. The bad news is the guy who adapted Terminator for Fox and gave us the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
I like that.
He's on board to write and executive produce the new Angels.
Is that bad?
Well, he didn't have much luck with Terminator.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to act anymore, but I would play Charlie.
Would you?
Yeah. I mean, if they came, I would. That
Kevin's
I would
Angels. I would pay cash money to see Kevin's Angels. Good morning, Angels. I used to good. You. They're good to be. Criminals good are bad. What are you saying? You be talking out of that little box and no one know what he's talking about? They would never get their mission. They would not understand what you were saying.
How dare you?
Mission would be go get Kevin Hart's like beef eater.
Thick Kevin's Angels, we'd call them.
How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthday is Chris Noth from Law and Order. It's Criminal Intent. SVU. You think he's done them all?
Sure.
Sex in the City?
Yep.
55 years old today. He's one of those guys that's cheesing me off because he's kind of getting better looking as he gets older. He's getting more ruggedly handsome and stuff. Mm-hmm. I hate those guys.
The ladies like him, Lisa? Is he popular with the chicks?
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't he on the Good Wife?
The Good Wife with Julianne Margulies. He has a recurring role in that as well.
He could lose a few LBs.
Lose a few now.
Yeah.
Who, Chris Noth?
Yeah.
But women like that big,
yeah, but
big,
I saw him on stage at the Geffen not too long ago. He's getting a little too big.
He's lost weight, though, on Good Wife. Yeah, it looks like he's lost weight. Well, he's in prison on that show, so food probably isn't that good. Okay. Whoopi Goldberg's 54 years old today. Our buddy Jimmy Kimmel celebrates. Our buddy Jimmy
it can be for Whoopi and Jimmy, either one.
Our buddy Jimmy Kimmel celebrates his 42nd birthday today, as does Steve Zahn, one of my personal favorites. He is 42. Ron Artest, forward for the Los Angeles Lakers, celebrates his 30th birthday. Monique Coleman from High School Musical is 29. And did I mention Joe Mantegna, one of my other favorite actors?
No.
Okay. He is 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is an addiction specialist.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
The host of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew on VH1.
Jay Bangalanga, put a Jay hat on you, DeBozak.
And author a terrific book, The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America.
Dr. Drizzle in the hizzle for schnizzle.
And can be heard on the nationally syndicated radio show, Love Line.
Nel tuaglio cre-
and I bust my flow all up on your grip.
Music cues, I sues, I muse, I cues, on twos, I cues at you zoo, my kizzer, who zizzer, I zee.
Please welcome Dr. Drew Pinsky, everybody.
Come on. Dr. Drew, who sits there with his head in his hands, just shaking it, going, what am I doing?
Wow.
How did this
happen
to me?
Every embarrassing moment on radio I've ever done was just reproduced for me right there. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Right?
Thank you.
That was
they go, oh, here comes the intro. Mike, I got an intro. I'm like, oh, geez. Oh, my God. Mike created an intro for me. This is going to be great.
Maybe your next VH1 series will be people who can't deal with their bad intros. Maybe that's people who are scarred by the tape that they have to listen back.
Scarring, yes. I'll be lined up for that.
Look, I love Dr. Drew more than anybody, but I'm telling you, I'm on a rampage against you and your sex rehab show. You are a big, fat, wet blanket now, Dr. Drew.
Really?
Oh, don't have any fun. Oh, no.
So
guys and girls shouldn't be together.
Oh, Beans is a sex addict. I didn't know that. I always thought that him being somewhere else was about just his Asperger's, but it's actually his practicing
I don't think he's a sex addict. I think he thinks it would be cool to be a sex addict.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, got it.
I think
that
he
sounds
thinks
like
it
pain.
Would be cool to have sex.
Yeah, because that would involve, you
at
know,
all.
Human
Another
connection.
Person. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it's an idea for him, but who knows what he does with the internet? He could look at some weird stuff and do weird things. That's what
I'm
people
thinking.
Do.
I would like to check out his history.
Yes,
this might be a great place to start, Dr. Drew, because sex addiction
who knows what he
is
does with
different.
Edmund Fitzgerald. I'm just saying. I mean, I just
yes.
made things altogether different for him. Anyway,
now we're
sex addiction.
That's my favorite position. Edmund Fitzgerald. sex addiction is perceived differently, probably by lay people, to
yes.
drug and alcohol addictions
yes.
and other sorts of problems that people have. People snicker. People have trouble taking it seriously. People probably misunderstand it more than they do some of the other addictions, right?
Absolutely. And that's sort of one of the goals we have in these programs we do is sort of really pressing the viewer's face to the mirror a little bit about these real serious conditions that are very common, that afflict lots of celebrities, that are made fun of in the media, that in fact are people really struggling in pain.
But when they're celebrities, it is funny.
Well, it's funny for you. Yes. you guys have a job to do, which
right.
is to make fun of them. But
right.
but what's even more disturbing to me is the head scratching that goes on in all the entertainment television shows. Like, how could this be? Why can't they find love? It's like, well, they got a problem. They're very sick. And, sexual addiction, you know, if you substitute sex, say, put in the word cocaine every time you suspect somebody of sex addiction, you'll see that it measures up to the same qualities, the same kind of circumstances as a chemical addiction. For instance, people go, oh, well, you know, they just got caught. It's just an excuse. Well, who brings cocaine addicts in for treatment but their family, the legal system,
yeah, I guess.
Their work? That's
right.
Unless
their
they have
own circumstances kind of force them into it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing with sex. And when they come in and we shut the door, believe me, they're not snickering. They are in pain. They
right.
are really
yeah,
struggling.
Yeah. Here's my question, though. Is there a better place to meet chicks than in a sex addict rehab?
Right.
I mean, you know they're all game.
Well, remember that Will Ferrell movie, the ice skating movie?
Oh, sure.
He makes fun of this, too. And, of course, there's something called 13 stepping when you go and you find somebody at a 12-step meeting.
And, by the way, they're almost all hot.
Yeah, they're all sex addicts. So it's evocative for people. But that's why, I mean, part of the whole circumstance is help teaching people to contain their boundaries, to dress appropriately, not touch each other, and to see what
and
emerges.
To have relationships that don't involve sex, which they probably never do.
They've never had. In fact, it's so bizarre when you sit and you talk to a sex addict, they always say, you know, I've had thousands of partners and I've got this girlfriend and that girlfriend, and I just want a relationship. I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I wish I could have a family someday, but it's a million miles away from me. It's impossible.
And you know what's funny? Everyone with a family goes, I sure would just like to bang a lot of people.
Well,
it goes both ways.
No, you're right, and so that's sort of the fantasy that
right.
men kind of carry around with them. But the reality is, it's not so cool. It's a very empty experience, and which is why people find more health and satisfaction in a real relationship, and why they don't do these things. When people can do it, when they can have a real relationship, they do prefer that. It's better for them. It's healthier for them.
That's what I was going to ask. When they have sex, is it as satisfying as when other people do?
It is. It works for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It works in like a
short
drug
term.
Works for them. Yeah, it's a very short-term thing, but they jump from desire to satisfaction to back to desire,
right.
And it's never enough.
It works, and then it doesn't work as much.
Exactly.
And then you have to wait a while for it.
And when
it's
they
like
start
drugs
having,
where you need more and more and more.
Well, that's exactly right. And they go into more and more bizarre things and more people, and as they start having these kind of diversions, let's say, the consequences start to mount. It's still not really working, and yet they can't stop.
Right.
So you made a conscious decision from a treatment standpoint that this should be a co-ed encounter for these people. It wasn't just for television.
No, they're usually co-ed environments. I mean, this is the point. These are professionally managed environments where people are very carefully monitored by people that know how to treat these conditions. And as such, you are teaching them how to relate to a woman as a person, how to maintain a boundary, how to dress appropriately, how to not need sexual evocation as your only means of relating to that person.
What's up with the no masturbation, though?
That was my next question. I don't get that.
I prevent myself from making terrible decisions on a day-to-day basis by kind of curbing my appetite by masturbating all day. You take these guys who are bigger animals than I am, and then you tell them not to do that. Aren't you just asking for trouble?
Gentlemen, I'm going to talk to Michael outside.
Not just about this.
He's got a lot of trouble.
Oh, I know Mike. Don't worry.
But Mike's right. Wouldn't that take the edge off and make them not want to bang everybody every minute of every day?
They may come to a point where that's what they do. In other words, because it's like an eating disorder, they have to eventually develop healthy sexuality.
Right.
They first start with complete abstinence to everything and just see what emerges. See how they, and then they kind of add things back slowly, and they see how they can, whether or not they can control it, how they can use these things in a healthy fashion. Somebody may adopt a strategy like that if that's what's working for them and they can do it in a healthy way.
How much
Mike, on the other hand, is into something south with this. I know.
Yeah. We've got a lot of trouble that he's going to need a whole hour off the earth.
Drew, how do you stop them from masturbating? What does your staff required to do to make sure that doesn't happen in the shower or under the covers?
A fly swatter and just go whack.
Well, we have this one of the interesting things about doing these programs is there are ancillary sort of aspects to it, like having cameras everywhere that we don't have in regular treatment, and so there's that. They know they're under constant supervision. And secondly, we ask them, look, if they're invested in treatment, to tell us. And indeed, what happens, they start telling us later when they masturbate. And some of them do. And that becomes
Is that okay?
It's not okay, but it becomes a treatment, an opportunity for treatment.
Oh, I see.
You see, we examine it, why it happened, how it happened, how do we control this, what do you feel about it, who was the fantasy about, how does that person feel about it. So it's a whole opportunity.
Speaking of appropriate.
Part of your job then, on this final note on this topic, part of your job in the morning, you leave your beautiful wife and children and you say, I'm going to the office today where a porn star will come and confess her masturbation fantasies to me. That's how I'm getting paid today, right?
Yeah, my wife loves that. Yeah. Especially when you put it that way.
And then the girl says, I forget which episode it was, the girl says, oh yeah, Dr. Drew comes in, wakes me up in the morning. I love it. I think he kind of likes me.
That's the girl I want to talk
Carrie
about.
Ann. Yeah.
And by the way, you talk about appropriate clothing. Her ass is hanging out of her jeans.
You've got to remember that the way these things are edited down, sometimes they're saying it's day 8 and it's really day 3. And so look at their dress and you'll see that it's earlier.
Sort of evolved. Okay.
Yeah, and we were on Carrie Ann all the time about her dress.
That's what she wanted.
About her dress.
Well, she is suffering. It turns out, now she's going around bad-mouthing the show all over the place saying
Oh, I didn't know.
So
that.
She's not cured.
Well, here's the deal. She forgot to tell us that she was strung out on speed. And so I ended up kicking her out of treatment, and I didn't know that she was using the whole damn time.
But that's the one,
but
if I remember correctly,
episode,
that
you
were saying there's something wrong with her. She sleeps too much.
No, I know. At first I was like, I know she's a drug addict. She's a drug addict because she's behaving like a drug addict.
Yeah.
And I was a team member. I assembled a team of people that do sexual addiction treatment every day. I'm just another team member, basically doing the primary care and stuff. And the sex addiction people were like, no, give her room, give her space. I'm like, this is a drug addict. I gotta kick her ass. No, we got to give her room. We let her come into the program. And that's a little different approach that they use in sex addiction.
Right.
And it's not right for an addict. And
right.
We didn't know she was fully into her
addiction. And they don't know how to deal with an addict.
Well, and so I end up actually treating Carrie Ann in celebrity rehab. And she actually does a lot better.
Start with that, and then you can move on to whatever.
Then you do the sex addiction treatment later, right? And sometimes you don't need the sex addiction treatment when you treat the chemical addiction.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break right now. Dr. Drew Pinsky is here. As you can tell, we are very heavily invested into his new show, which is just
When it's airing. That'd be good,
I'm
too.
Going to.
Oh,
it is something like you've never seen on television before. Yeah, there have been other rehab shows and other shows with Dr. Drew. You've never seen a program like this before. It is called Sex Rehab. New episodes air Sunday nights at 10 on VH1, and then it does repeat a couple times throughout the week. When we come back, we have many more questions about the people in the house. We also want to help the people listening, like you do on Loveline, how you know if you're a sex addict. Because I bet a lot of people think, what's that line between just I'm a horny guy and I really have a problem? So we'll talk about that and so much more, and maybe have time for your phone calls later this hour too. Dr. Drew is our guest. We'll return right after this on The Kevin. Our guest on The Kevin and Bean Show is Dr. Drew Pinsky. His old friend from Loveline, Adam Carolla, joins us next hour.
It means you're hideous.
That's an ugly sound
effect.
Oh,
an ugly
bell,
right?
I see.
Yeah, that
we
had Chewbacca.
I know the Chewbacca.
Those are our two options.
Because Dr. Drew is dreamy and everyone knows
Who rings the bell? I thought Mike rang the bell.
No, Bean rings
Bean
the bell.
Bean does
Which
it.
Is No one has worse taste.
It's weird.
And no one represents anyone else.
Oh, but what he does, he rings it for Mike oftentimes. That is the ding, 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 ding. Yes, yes.
Let's move on and talk about Dr. Drew. He, of course, is the best-selling author, the co-host of The Loveline Show.
Hey,
and
Dean, just before you move on, I would like to have you in another time and discuss Bean at length. For like an hour.
Could we?
Would he have to be there chiming in and sort of say, no, I'm not. No. Yeah, just ourselves. Just the four of us. So we leave on vacation or something.
Hey, I can still hear you guys. Yes. Okay. I can still hear you guys.
All right, sorry. Back to you, Beat.
Dr. Drew's latest show, of course, is called Sex Rehab, which airs Sunday nights on VH1 and repeats throughout the week. And it's really, I think, the best show so far. I mean, it's certainly eye-opening. And for people who haven't seen it yet, when they hear us talk about sex addiction, Dr. Drew, describe some of the things that your patients do, not just on the show, but patients that you treat in your practice, too, that makes them sex addicts that really does turn their whole lives upside down.
Let me just, first of all, say, Bean, thank you for saying that about the show, because it is, in my opinion, the most intense thing I've ever done on television. Really powerful stuff. And the courage of these people to step up and really open themselves up to the world, these very, very tender and intense things.
It's pretty personal.
Incredible. So the kinds of things the sex addicts do, I mean, it depends on the condition. I mean, some go into the adult industry. Some spend their day going out on the internet. And it's funny, when people get internet porn addiction, oftentimes it's not about things that you wouldn't imagine. I mean, it can go south. It can go into really weird stuff and chop. But sometimes, like Penny Flame, Jenny Ketchum would watch CSI or something.
How is that an addiction?
But she'd masturbate to it.
Really?
Because their fantasy life was so powerful to them that they would just kind of drift into these. They'd find ways to drift into these fantasies.
Is it bad that I masturbate to sex rehab?
How could you not? Are you kidding me?
Depends who it is you're looking at.
Dr. Drew, have you seen, with the rise of the internet and how much porn there is, have you seen that affect a lot of people detrimentally?
Absolutely. I don't know about – well, you're asking two different questions. One, does it affect people detrimentally? And I'll answer that in a second. Second, is it contributing to sexual addiction? And to answer the second piece, yes, absolutely it's contributing to sexual addiction. In fact, the guys that deal with this condition believe it's the most rapidly increasing diagnostic category in the country. And it makes sense, right? If people are prone to this, not only are you delivering a more powerful drug, meaning the way the porn is sort of presented to people and so available, but everyone's got the equivalent of a crack pipe sitting on their desk. I mean, Lisa's crack pipe is sitting here. Okay, you guys, and everyone's got access to this magic portal that delivers the drug. Now, has it this... Yeah, Mike's like, Mike's already in fantasy about being there. I guess we do 5 minutes after you leave here. How long after you leave? Oh, my God. Oh,
go ahead.
That's very scary. We'll have to talk. Does it adversely impact people is something I have more of a Loveline question, because I really do think that I think males have this sort of window of vulnerability. Mike, we've talked about this, I think, from about 14 to 16 or 12 to 15 or something, where what they see, arousing sexual material, becomes sort of preferential. And the kind of arousing and bizarre stuff that kids are being rained down on them, I'm hearing about in their young adult life in Loveline, where they always have to have these behaviors and these kinds of things. And they're really not very pleasant things for the female partners, particularly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And
Mike.
Mike.
Oh, well.
Stupid Mike.
And whether...
I'm sorry, Mike. Did you say, oh, well?
No, I was saying, oh, hell.
I thought you said, oh, well.
No, not at all.
I'm pretty sure that's what you said.
So, in other words, it changes what they think is appropriate and, quote-unquote, normal in real life.
It creates a preference, an intense desire to do these things that were so arousing and sort of wired in a preference that are not really healthy, necessarily. Not even... They have anything to do with intimacy.
What about, I hate to keep going back to this topic, but what about the guy on your show that says, I just want to have sex with every woman I meet, fix me.
Phil.
Okay. And I think...
Rock drummer for Skid Row.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's different from any other guy how? You know what I mean?
He really could be satiated, right?
He's a drug addict and in recovery, and his drug addiction is sort of jeopardized. His recovery is jeopardized by the environments and the behaviors and the consequences, so he's concerned there.
But isn't that fact true of all guys that have to learn to control themselves?
It's different. It's just different in terms of let's put it this way. Mike and Kevin, you don't want to control yourself, really. I mean, you do control yourself.
Because we have to.
Yeah, but you don't. But he can't. You can. That's the difference. And he has consequences, and he wants to.
But isn't it also that, I mean, and I'm not talking to you, Mike, but Kevin, If you have sex with a woman and then an hour later you see another hot woman and then you have sex with her, are you really going to
the next
hour? That
would be a dream come true for Kevin, just so you know.
But
you just described
point,
a paradise for him.
Right.
In his mind.
Head,
24
a day.
But in reality,
reality.
That's right. That's
at some point, you are just not going to want to do
blanket.
It.
Let's just.
No, that is, Lisa, that is exactly right. And this another evidence that the female is a more evolved form of the human being. She, of course, tunes right into this. Yeah, of course. But that the reality is humans need intimacy. Human needs closeness. Human needs stability in relationships. And this, ultimately, all these kinds of sexual and love addictions are intimacy disorders. And that's really where they feel the emptiness. And where they want to get to that,
right.
They can't, and the sex keeps intruding.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So it can
the,
be, Kevin, you have intimacy. You have stable relationships and stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, so this other thing just remains kind of fantasy. Oh, it's a desire.
So you can keep it there.
Yeah.
As
I mean, you might want to overeat and
right.
stuff, too, but you don't do that
I
either.
Do. I eat a lot.
Well, I'm just saying.
The most shocking story that I've seen so far, and I'm not asking you to give anything away that hasn't aired yet on Sex Rehab on VH1, Sunday nights at 10, by the way, is Amber Smith, who one time was a supermodel. As she mentioned, she was on the cover of 250 magazines. I mean, just a gorgeous, gorgeous woman. You've dealt with her before on the Celebrity Rehab. When she talked about getting up in the morning and cruising for dudes to have sex with to satisfy.
No, it's different.
My question is
that's not
where?
What she was doing. No, that's the point.
Where?
No, she's actually sexually anorectic.
She actually
does not have sex. She would cruise for one guy that looked like her father because you will hear a story about her father that she forgot to tell us when she was loaded on opiates. That now that she's off opiates, this thing emerges that's just so powerful. And she would get obsessed with a guy for years at a time that looked like her father.
Oh.
And she would go cruising for this guy. And she would never speak to him. But if he didn't look at her a certain way, she'd go home and go to bed, wouldn't come out of bed for 3 days.
Really?
Yeah.
So she was looking for whatever love she
love
didn't get
addiction.
From...
Love addiction.
Wow.
She's a severe love addict, yeah.
So in layman's terms, how do you break her of that?
Spank her a lot.
Well, there's two simple.
Besides, dress it up to look like her daddy.
And who's the other guy?
Just ignore them, Dr.
They're evil.
The other guy in sex rehab is like, I can change my hair. He's falling in love with her.
Yeah, he's falling in love with her, but that's part of his addiction.
Right.
And the fact is, to keep it as simple as possible, there's a 12-step approach, which is you get a sponsor, you accept, and that's how behavior change occurs. And then there's some therapy that she would have to do also. To help her sort of explore all these feelings that she's had about her dad and sort of reintegrate things. Mm. And you, of course, know about the mom and she needs support with dealing with that. And all,
Who is her mom?
You know, the mom ends up turning out – mom is okay. Turns out to be a lesser intense story than the dad thing.
The dad thing is
unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the – one more question before the break and then we'll try to include your phone calls for Dr. Drew about sex rehab. Sunday nights at 10 on VH1, 1-800-520-1067. What's the – the relapse rate on a sex addict versus, say, a drug and alcohol addict? Because as we've talked about, just like with people who are addicted to food, this is something that you still want to have a healthy relationship with. It's not a cold turkey. You never want to do it again.
It's got to be great not being distracted by human relations or feelings and things the way being is, because you can just really see through things and ask good questions. It's awesome. But the question then becomes, how do you really know when you've relapsed, which is the more tenuous question with sex and love addiction.
Yeah, because one of these guys gets out of rehab a year from now, he has sex twice in a weekend, he's got to be saying to himself, uh-oh, am I going down a bad path?
No, that's exactly right. And so it's very much like eating disorders. How do you know you're eating healthily? When have you slipped into the addictive process again?
Those things that you need to keep doing seem so much harder to quit or control.
Yeah,
you have
of
to
course.
That's right.
You
and
have to
that's,
have
that's one of the reasons it's more difficult. Then you do they set up these what we call circle plans where they're behaviors they can't do, behaviors they can do but that are slippery, and then healthy behaviors. And they examine these things with their therapist, with their sponsor, like on a daily basis. And if they start moving around in ways that they don't want it to, or that the sponsor is advising them not to, then you're sort of heading towards relapse or you have relapsed.
Wow.
It's a little more difficult.
Complex. No kidding. That's amazing. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls for Dr. Drew, who, by the way, I found out during the commercial, not an actual medical doctor. Really just calls himself Dr. Drew.
Like
which
Dr.
really
Phil?
Was a surprise to me. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
He's like a PhD or something.
How'd you find that out?
In animal behavior studies. It was weird. Anyway, we'll return right after this on the Kevin DeBee. Adam Carolla coming up next hour here on the Kevin.
What?
Yes.
You didn't
he's the boy's following you.
Sorry,
are you
dude.
Kidding me?
Yeah,
you can
sorry.
Go out the back if you don't want to talk
to
him or run into him.
I'd like to see you fight.
He'll start one. He always does. I want to stay here when he's up here.
Come on. Totally can.
All right, let's do it. Because I'm supposed to do his podcast in 45 minutes. Oh. What the hell?
He's obviously not going to be there.
I know.
Dr. Drew is a guest on Adam Carolla's podcast, which you'll be able to call into also. You can go to adamcarolla.com and get the number and details on that. Dr. Drew is here talking about his new show, The Sex Rehab, on VH1 Sunday nights at 10. Here's what that's all about.
Now, it's time to put the microscope on another addiction. One that lies in a deeper shroud of shame. Sex addiction. For millions of addicts worldwide, sex is just another drug. One that can lead to ruined relationships, shattered lives, and even death.
You know, you don't like to admit this, Dr. Drew, but you've always had patients crush on you. Let's face it. I don't know a woman who doesn't crush on you. What's it like when you've got
Lisa's
a woman
next to me? She does not have a crush.
I like Dr. Drew.
Oh, yes,
she does.
She just kind of likes me. So.
I do like Dr. Drew.
What happens when it's somebody like former playmate Nicole Narain, who's one of your sex addict clinics, and she's all over you? What do you do with that, Dr. Drew? You're just human.
Two things. One is, thank God I'm in a really happy marriage, and I would never do anything to threaten that, number one. So that's easy. Then number two, I know so vividly what these folks need that when they try to evoke that kind of stuff from somebody in a position of power, they're really trying to reinvoke their childhood trauma. They're trying to get a big person to exploit them again like when they were a little person.
And that makes it not sexy?
Well, I'm so deeply attuned. Yes, that's it.
That's the answer. It makes it not sexy.
But I'm so deeply attuned to the pain that's in that. And that's what I'm there for, is to hold a boundary and to attune to that pain.
What is it about human nature that was a terrible time for them,
but now
they want to recreate it?
It's incredible about the human. It's what the show Loveline is built on, which is that the extraordinary thing about the human being is that terrorizing experience in childhood become sources of attraction in adulthood and adolescence. In other words, if your dad or your mom is horrible to you or abandoning you, magically you become attracted to the same kind of person that will reenact that same trauma later.
That's counterintuitive. You know, at least?
No. It's because, in fact, even when they know it, they'll go, okay, I see now what I'm doing. I'm never going to go for that kind of person again. And yet they end up with that kind of person.
That's kind of counterintuitive in that you would think it would be the opposite.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes they will be aversive and avoid. But most often it ends up being an attraction. And this is the thing, the source of attraction. We don't talk about that.
How
do you change that? The picker. We call it a broken picker.
Yeah.
And you either A, you go into treatment, or B, you try to get involved with people who are not quite so exciting. A little more boring.
And I'm surprised to see, I can't remember which one of your patients on sex rehab, Dr. Drew, who had some horrible multiple abuse situations,
all
like years of abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe all. And you're trying to get them to talk about how that affects them, and they say, it didn't. I'm fine. Well, I got no repercussions at all from that.
That's how most trauma survivors look at it. They'll always go, because it literally, when you have a trauma, it changes the wiring in your brain. And one of the things it does, it walls you off to that experience and the parts of yourself that remain attached to it. And so they think, because they don't think about it anymore, they don't have flashbacks, it's not bothering them, quote unquote, that therefore they've dealt with it. Well, the fact is they haven't. And you can look at their lives and it tells you that they haven't. That this becomes a source of generating things like drug addiction and sex addiction and what we call emotional dysregulation and interpersonal chaos.
Mm-hmm. We want to squeeze in a few phone calls for our guest, Dr. Drew Pinsky, about sex rehab, Sunday nights at 10 on VH1. My phones are done broken here, Kevin, so it's going to have to be you if you see some good ones for the doctor.
I do. I'd like to take Jasmine because rehabs can be expensive.
Yes, they can.
So she has a question about that. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
My question is more derived towards insurance. Mm-hmm. I've had insurance before, but I recently, because of the economy, I don't have it now. But I would like to receive treatment. So I would like to know, is there any groups or organizations that are not so expensive to help people out with,
Jasmine, I have a couple of responses to that. One is, even when you have insurances, it's almost impossible to get adequate mental health services. It's almost impossible. In my world, when I have addicts that need 3-6 months of treatment, I'm lucky if I get 5 to 7 days covered by the insurance.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. Wow. People do not know how egregious it is.
And then how expensive is it?
And that's the point. There are county-funded beds, usually. You can usually ask people to take cash plans and talk it down. There are training systems. There's a safety net out there of all kinds of communities. You have to really search around for it, Jasmine, but there are always community services out there that will give you therapy, that will take care of you. And 12-step is free. Go to 12-step meetings, show up, get a sponsor, keep going to meetings. I mean, really, to my opinion, the 12-step experience is something that's been revolutionary. It will really help a lot of people. And, of course, I think we'll have a new healthcare plan soon, hopefully, that will hopefully one day cover adequately mental health services. Most people end up paying out of pocket for mental health services. For adequate mental health,
which is almost impossible for most people.
It isn't if you really look for it and you ask the doctors or caretakers to please give you prorated services of some type. You can usually find it. You can't. Mm-hmm. Plus, there are teaching institutions all over the place that do it for free.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. Let's see. Let's go.
Tony's the one, the addict I see up there, okay. Isn't it? Yeah.
Let's go to Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening? You're on with Dr. Drew.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Like, I feel... I've been looking at porn since I was, younger, and now that I'm an adult, I have, all my own internet and everything. It's a lot more accessible, like you were talking about. My thing is, a lot of times, I don't feel addicted to it, but when I try to say no, sometimes I can and sometimes I can't, and it's starting to spill over into my relationship with my girlfriend. We've been getting together for a long time, and I want to take it to the next level, but I feel like that porn is kind of holding me back.
What's the problem?
When I'm intimate, with her, sometimes I'm thinking about other things, I'm not sure if there's any kind of just mental breakdown of something I can do when I start getting those thoughts. Is there anything that I can kind of do?
Tony, it doesn't necessarily sound like addiction per se, because addicts really talk about the shame and the loss of control and the consequences. Right. You're saying, geez, I'm troubled by the fact that I can't be really, truly, intimately available with my partner,
right?
And that's really that is a problem in our country,
right?
That we've really destroyed intimacy, and we've substituted sex and arousing behaviors and all kinds of stuff for the real satisfying experience of closeness.
Is it healthy that he feels that way?
Yes, it is. In fact, I think Tony, you just stay aware of it, work on it, try to stay available and close to the relationship, tune to the other person. If you can't, you might want to talk to somebody. This is the kind of thing that, in a relatively short period of time, and talking to a therapist could potentially at least be sorted out and some plans made.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Good luck to you. Dr. Drew, here's a question I don't know that you probably have taken on Loveline, but I haven't heard. Why is there the shame associated for so many people with masturbation?
That's a question. Because
rarely is somebody finish up and go, yes, I rule.
This is a conversation.
You guys are all really proud of it. You can't stop talking about it in here.
I rule.
Well, Mike's proud of it, historically, it's been something shrouded in shame and secrecy. It's only a new phenomenon that people even discuss it publicly.
Is it a religious thing?
I think it's like any other sort of, let's call it, gross bodily function. We as humans don't like to think of ourselves that way and talk about these things. And we've begun to think of it a little more casually these days. And so I think new generations are going to have less shame associated with it. But, interestingly, we don't have a lot of Asperger's callers, so we don't get that question. but you know who's got a taste of Asperger's too is Corolla. And
really?
Corolla would talk about this at length, how he would leap from desire to shame to a shame spiral, so he'd have to masturbate again. So so he can tell you about that.
Wow. Yeah. So we got Corolla, we got Bean. Who else?
That's straight up addict there.
That's a whole different. Let's talk to Anthony real quick. I know we're running a little short on time, and Anthony, I want to get him on. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, guys. I just want to tell Dr. Drew that stuff. Because of him, I've been in about 7 years in SAA, and I've been successful. And hold on a relationship and bring my whole life back together because of Loveline and because of finding the 12 step.
Great, Anthony. You guys compel me on to get up in the morning and do my work the next day.
I always think that has to be so depressing for Dr. Drew because it's a hard road and a lot of people fail.
Well, I've had to find my own therapist as well, just because finding someone that specializes in sex therapy or going through. And also, I've done what you said is like, you got to ask them to you got to help me out. Like,
yeah.
I can't afford $250 an hour.
Yeah,
right. And they'll cut it back. They will help you. They'll find ways to make it work for
great.
You. People want to help. People are in helping professions because they want to help. They need to make a living, but they want to help. And Anthony, I got to tell you something. Just hearing you and to address your question, Kevin, you talk to a couple Anthonys, and I mean, it's inspiring to hear this guy. And when you see the Anthonys when they're in trouble, it makes you want to get them from where they were to where Anthony is. It's so inspiring. You only need a couple of Anthonys to go, to start pulling for all of them.
Yeah. Do you feel like most people don't understand the world that you work in?
Yes. Even my physician peers don't understand
addiction.
Even
physicians don't understand.
Yeah, it's hard. It's, unless you're steeped in addiction, it's really hard to understand how the brain works when it's under the influence of a broken motivation. When really all the thoughts, all the feelings, all the behaviors are about using for a normie, that you can't. Your head won't do that.
Right.
You have to have seen it a lot to really automate. It's still, even yesterday, I was at a treatment team meeting and I thought, oh, God, I forgot. That's right. It's all about the drugs. Because I was talking to a patient about something they were into and he was trying to make a decision about his aftercare plan and it was kind of sort of chaotic and he was splitting people like, oh, it's working. I'm going to figure it out for you. And my partner comes in and goes, oh, he's high. And I thought, oh, God.
Right, oh, no.
Wow. Because my partner's an addict. He's a recovering addict and so he just sees right through it. Boom.
One last question about sex rehab. How come the doctor has to be so hot? That chick.
Why did Jill?
Yes.
Oh,
not on the drug rehab, the sex rehab.
Jill, is the one that I'm working with. Yeah, Jill from here. Is she just happens to be really... I didn't know... People selected
Wouldn't
her.
Wouldn't you pick an ugly doctor in that case? Come on, she's hot.
Well, there is a little bit of that stuff that goes on with her where she has to address that with her...
Yeah,
and she does. And that's good for the patients to have to struggle with that. So.
All right.
Sex Rehab airs Sunday nights at 10 on VH1 with our friend Dr. Drew. Are you you're going to stick around for Adam Carolla coming up next?
I have no choice. I'm going with him over to his podcast. I might as well sit here and wait with him.
We'll be right back. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next on the Kevin and Bean. Adam Carolla joins us for the Week in Range. Dr. Drew is sticking around. All of that coming up on the final hour of today's Kevin and Bean show. Right now, either Adam or Bob Dylan is here with Ralph and the Showbiz Beat.
Get it on!
Ralph used to live with Adam.
Yeah.
He's had an ass full of Adam.
Yeah.
Good band name.
Nothing like stumbling drunk around 3:30 in the a.m., sneaking into the kitchen, trying to get yourself a glass of water or something to eat and having Adam hear you. And then come sneaking out into the kitchen and cornering you and giving you his take on something for an hour. And all you want to do is just collapse in a bit. Just want to pass out.
You know what I was thinking, Ralphie? Yeah.
You don't need that. It's nice to have friends, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
You're not asking me, no.
I'm sorry. What I was thinking. Nicolas Cage has a friend named Johnny Depp.
Okay. Oh.
Who has vowed to save Nick Cage from all his financial troubles. How about
really?
That? He's going to bail him out.
Wow.
Got his own bailout program.
Huh.
Apparently, Johnny feels Nicholas is largely responsible for his career.
For Johnny's?
Yeah. And now wants to repay him.
Huh.
Apparently, when Nicholas Cage was a player in Hollywood, he saw and met Johnny Depp. He was still a struggling musician then, just playing guitar for a couple bands on the Sunset Strip, and he got him an appointment with his agent, and the agent got him the role in A Nightmare on Elm Street. That was the beginning of his film career.
Huh. Who knew?
Johnny has never forgotten that kindness, and now that Nick is in financial woes, he owes the IRS about $6 million, and he's pretty broke. Johnny said he's going to step in and help Nick out with his financial troubles.
How about that?
Maybe he can buy that dinosaur skull off him. You know, help him out there. Buy one of his 50 cars. See Lindsay's burn on her dad last night?
No.
TMZ.com has the video. Apparently she was leaving, believe it or not, a bar.
What?
Yeah. It's true.
Lindsay?
She was leaving a nightclub called Voyeur. And, of course, the paparazzi went into feeding frenzy mode, started snapping their pictures. And as she got into the car, she yelled at the paparazzi, "Why don't you go find my dad? He's the one that went to the pictures."
Oh, no, you didn't!
What?
Giving a little shout at her fame-hungry dad, who has been releasing all those audio tapes of her and her mom on the phone with him, all those conversations they've been having.
Did you see the story that he may go to jail over that? Because it's illegal.
What?
Illegal to release or record the phone calls or something?
Without telling someone in California.
It was a story on TMZ.
That's a great idea. I'd be all for that.
How about that?
And who will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl?
Tone Loc.
No.
Tone Loc.
No.
It's a good guess.
Who will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl?
President who?
No. Who will be the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl?
The Who.
Yes, that's what I said.
No, you said Who.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, apparently...
Ralph, make your point.
Sports Illustrated said that the legendary 60s band will be the halftime entertainment for this year's upcoming Super Bowl.
That would have been such exciting news 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's true. They have missed their step a little bit.
Halftime at Super Bowls, for me, is time to go to the bathroom and get some food. It hasn't been interesting in a long time.
Yeah.
Look, Springsteen was great last year, remember? Great performance. But it was a guy doing songs from the 70s. I mean, come on, update it, people.
Yeah, but then he smashed his dong into the camera.
Yeah, remember that?
He did that slide.
Yeah. Stage slide said, take a look at my Jersey junk.
That was good.
Went right into the lens.
Awesome.
There's a lot of good music out and a lot of very talented artists that I would enjoy seeing at the halftime. That's all I'm
just
saying.
Just from Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald up there, by the way.
You don't hear me recommending Gordon Lightfoot would be appropriate for halftime.
Why do you punish us for an entire day about it then?
But let's encourage him in this need to update things.
He doesn't mean it. I thought he meant it. If he really wanted help, then I'd be there to get him into rehab. But he doesn't mean it.
I'm saying
he's the Jeff Conaway of the Kevin and Bean show is what he is.
For the Super Bowl, they have an opportunity to do something cool. That's all I'm saying. Don't waste it on the Who.
And Eva Longoria Parker is a woman who will not put up with being wronged by the man. She bought herself a pack of peanut M&M's the other day. She opened up that delicious yellow package treat and found out that her M&M's had no nuts. She was stuck with a bag full of regular M&M's in the peanut M&M packaging.
I hope she went crazy.
She did, Kevin. She hopped right on that phone number on the back of the wrapping and called the M&M people.
Who are you people that call the companies with the phone numbers on the back of the product?
She complained.
Come on.
And as a result, they sent her a year's worth of free M&M peanut M&M's.
We could write a strongly worded letter.
How about that? No. Action. She got action. She took action and got action.
Because she's a celebrity.
No, it's because she...
You call him? You think we're going to send you anything?
I'm going to call Eminem right now. Tell him I want more blues.
You get nothing.
So, congratulations, Eva Longoria Parker, and you're getting those nuts in your mouth finally. So, congratulations.
Oh! Been trying to do that for a while.
Since she wanted nuts in her mouth, and she finally got them.
Yeah, I think we're talking
about. Jeez, Mike. Today's celebrity birthdays... Actress Monique Coleman from High School Musical is 29 years old today. She, of course, played Frida on her television show.
Bean's the only one of us that watches that.
Yeah, so. I have no idea who Monique Coleman is.
And I don't even remember what her name is. She's very cute. She's the black chick. Very cute. I don't remember her character's name, though.
She's saying this? Watch out for the pick and keep an eye on the fence. Gotta run the gun guard, take the ball to the hole, and don't be afraid to shoot the outside, Jay. Yeah. Yeah, the white kid's the big basketball star in their high school. Where are they going to school? The white gay-looking kid is a big high school basketball star.
And the black kid in their school went on to make a motocross movie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he sure did.
They live in bizarro world.
Business world.
Steve Zahn from That Thing You Do and many feature films. He's one of my favorites. He is 42 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg's 54. Chris Noth from Sex and the City, Mr. Big on that show, currently can be seen in The Other Wife. No, what the hell is it called?
It's The Other Wife.
The Good Wife.
The Good Wife. The Good Wife.
He's 55. And Jimmy Kimmel, our very own putty buddy and pal. Putty and pal is celebrating his 42nd birthday today. Happy birthday, James. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right, what kind of alternate universe have we stumbled into here on the Kevin and Bean Show with real-life love line in front of us? Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Drew is joined by the great Adam Carolla.
Yeah,
Adam
Carolla.
Get it on, indeed.
Reliving the great moments of Adam's lighting his farts.
Yes.
And the great mushroom flame.
Kevin's bachelor party.
My bachelor party, we drove to Vegas, and Adam lit 9 million farts. Everyone was funnier than the last.
I thought Psycho Mike was not going to be able to breathe hearing about this.
Yeah, I know, but he loves it so much.
Blue flames are the funniest thing.
It is the greatest thing ever.
I got to tell you, and it was impressive. It was really impressive.
Thank you.
Every time.
Thank you.
Adam, I have to ask you a question. You strike me as a hairy gentleman.
Yeah.
Was there ever problems?
He has to wear jeans.
I always wear super denim.
Okay.
I'll never do it in sweats. I don't do it in muslins. I won't do it in khakis.
Let's be fair.
Super denim.
Nothing hairier than the rear end on this guy. I mean, that's he's like a centaur, like one of those animals.
We'll take your word for that.
Centaur. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that, Drew.
I have a question for you guys. We always heard about, with their 8 years in the White House, Bill Clinton and Al Gore were just professional colleagues only. They were never friends. And that it was always a little bit frosty when they had to get together after they left office. What's it like for Adam and Dr. Drew together now that they're not doing Love Line together for a few years? You guys still tight?
Blow and hookers?
Initially, there was some friction there because we're both power bottoms. And I didn't think the two power... My grandfather told me the two power bottoms can never get along. You know, there's people that follow the
zodiac signs and say, sure, if you're both Tauruses, you're never, all you're going to do is fight. And I heard that from my grandfather and his father. Before him, he was power. We're all power bottoms. And so I said, you know, one of us is going to have to step back. And
I finally did. Drew, I finally did. Bigger man. Yeah,
nice. Yeah, well, because Drew's dad was a power bottom, but his dad's dad wasn't. And right. I told him that, you know, the great, great Giuseppe Carolla came over on the boat was, that was his thing, you know, even in the old country.
So you claimed it.
Yeah, it's on the mantle. All I right. mean, if you check our crest, you'll see the cot, the dumpster, and then the guy tying his shoes. And that's, you know.
Dr. Drew is your guest on the Adam Carolla podcast that is supposed to be taping in about 45 minutes or so, right?
No, how's that? Half an hour, 30 minutes, be fair.
30 minutes from 30 right minutes, now wow. is supposed to be taping.
Adam, why didn't you tell him you were going to podcast when you knew you were going to be here?
What is he, royalty? He can't hang out and look at a Sports Illustrated for 25 minutes?
And by the way, just behold the kingdom that is the warehouse.
Yeah.
I've got a little quick video from people at quickvideo.com of Adam's warehouse where he has a kingdom. And I've told Kevin, it's like giving a 14-year-old $2 million and say, go to town.
I like
just go.
It.
Go nuts.
Right.
I like it.
And it's, and
13,
do,
but yes.
Do you realize the irony of that picture of you and your full football regalia from Junior All-American surveying your land there? I mean, looking
surveying
over your
all
kingdom.
That you see?
It's a picture of him in a football gear ready for action in the linebacker position.
That's why I love it when...
Circa 14. He's 14 years old, that picture.
That's why I love it when guys like Adam get a little money, guys like Jimmy, you know, right. those guys, because yeah. they don't...
They do it right,
you don't
right?
change, you don't grow up because you have money or fame.
No, it's great. It's really, it's almost like being black, where Jimmy's like, I think I need a second smoker in my master bathroom. I'm like, really? You have to smoke meats in the bathroom? Well, listen, what if the first one breaks? And you're like, you know what? That's why you're the boss. Besides, it's only $2,700.
Adam, yes. What's the craziest thing that you bought with any of your various millions throughout the year? Something that even you laugh that you spent the money on?
I bought an Asian teen.
Yes. Right. He's
been sick. He's in
the
mail. Yeah. He's out putting carnauba wax on my car as we speak. That's right. I'm a power bottom. How many times I have to tell you?
Nicaraguan bugger.
Oh, you know, the best is not what you buy yourself. It's what guys like Kimmel get you. Like, oh, you know, for Christmas, another heated toilet seat that shoots me in the tuchus. That's awesome. I'll put that in the entry bathroom. Yeah, you start getting crazy gifts like jukeboxes and pinball machines, and you just start getting nutty.
I got to stop you with the toilet seat, because I remember when Adam first came upon that toilet seat. We were at the Riga Royal Hotel in New York, and he called me, goes, oh my God, I found Nirvana.
Because it's actually heated?
And, more importantly,
scorch you in the ass. Mm-hmm.
Do I want that?
Adam does.
I'll tell you what.
He's got shag carpet.
I'll tell you what you do. I'll tell you what you don't. You don't want to. You don't want 500 psi in icy stream water, but you do want what essentially feels like. You know, just a sheep just giving you a light lick down there. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Just one sheep. Just one golden sheep. One golden anointed sheep giving you. Yes.
I went to a hotel one time where there was a bidet, and I didn't know exactly how it worked. And I turned it on and turned it on and turned it on more and more, and it wouldn't work.
Right.
And then geyser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right through me.
Yeah.
Right through the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know, it was not good.
The Keystone Cop moment is where you have to investigate, and then it works, and you get the detached retina.
All right, this has been a very educational segment so far today. We have to take a quick break. Adam Carolla, adamcarolla.com is where you go for all the podcasts.
Hold on a second, what? B. Can what? I just say this? The toilet seat that Jimmy got me came with a wireless remote. Literally, that's
the heat in the water.
Yes, like you couldn't reach down to your left and push the picture of the seal. You had to do it via the remote. It actually came with a wireless remote that clamped on next to the toilet.
Why did he never give me one of those?
He doesn't like you as much as he likes me.
It's obvious.
We'll the Week back. In Rage, right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky is here. His old friend Adam Carolla joins us every Friday at this time for The Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right, number three working down to number one. Number three, had to do some car seat swapping over the weekend to get over to Kimmel's house and take the young twin boy with me. And I announced to my wife, when is this going to be over with? When do they not need the seats anymore? And she said, a couple of years. And I said, couple of years? I had them, in my mind, I had them outside of the car in a couple of years. Forget the booster seat. I had to duct tape to the hood. Yeah.
No.
With like a 12-pack of Mickey's between their legs, you know? What do you talk? A couple of years. here's more of the charade. And then I said, you know what? I'm going upstairs. I'm looking it up. And I typed it in. And they said, when they get to 60 pounds, you don't need the seat anymore. And then I thought, what about dwarfs? What about midgets?
Never reached that.
Vern Troyer is not 60 pounds.
He has to be in a car seat.
Where's his booster seat? And what a great move it'd be if you were a cop and pulled him over like he's coming back from the Playboy Mansion with a couple of hoes. You're like, sir, gonna need you to leap out of the car. And nope, haven't been drinking. Nope. Where's your booster seat?
Be fair, the women probably like it.
It's
we'll
true.
Put you in.
We'll put him in.
We'll put you in the car seat, Vern.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let me get him on your show. I'm just saying. Why don't dwarfs and midgets have to ride in booster seats? Why do they get to ride custom vans and my kid's got to be strapped down like an astronaut? Don't
That's
answer me. Just think about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
All
okay.
right.
You don't want an answer.
Number
right.
two. Well, if you
never
have
wants
one.
An answer.
By the way, let me just butt in if you don't yes. mind. I have seen Adam at work as a father.
Yes.
I was at Jimmy Kimmel's house to watch football, and he showed up with his twins, and he said to Sal, Cousin Sal, and anybody that knows Cousin Sal knows that guy's effing shaky.
Right.
Adam says, how much do I have to pay to watch the twins? Here you go. And went over and walked out on the couch and started watching football.
Wow.
And drinking, be fair.
Yeah, drinking. And gave his kids to Cousin Sal.
Yeah.
That happened.
Well, I knew he had paid a nanny to come with him, and I knew he would turn them over to her able hands and breasts. So that's why I gave him to Cousin Sal.
All
please,
right.
tell the whole story.
Sorry to interrupt. Thank you.
You're making me seem like a horrible dad when I'm just a bad dad. All right,
it's
number
a
two.
Cool tradition, be
number
fair.
Two. Yeah. Right. Mike Tyson. He punched someone in the airport. I guess
Shocking.
The paparazzi
Shocking.
Was in the airport. But here's the deal. And I've yapped about this before in this show. What's the paparazzi doing buzzing around the airport? Isn't that sort of holy ground for us now, especially after 9/11? But what are they doing? They're not taking any flights. They're a bunch of deadbeat dads and a bunch of felons. I've run into these guys at the airport. They walk backwards.
Right.
By the way, there's no worse place to walk backwards in than an airport because a bunch of old people trying to find their luggage and a bunch of confused Japanese tourists and a bunch of guys dragging, you know, wagon trains of luggage behind them and guys driving carts and stuff. Walking backwards to a crowded airport asking about Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have a flight to catch. Why do we allow him in this airport? They're not allowed anywhere else. You want to go film the Brooklyn Bridge? You can't go do that. We'll take away your camcorder.
Well, that's interesting.
Why do we even get to the place? And these guys are just a nuisance. And they're just one more guy for security to fight through if something horrible does break down at yeah. the airport. Couldn't we just say no a-holes at the airport? Or listen, only people allowed at the airport are people with official business. You're either hopping a flight or you're working at the goddamn Cinnabon. Enough is enough already,
like
am I right?
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Drew, you ever get accosted by these
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, you know exactly where they are, too. They're at the American Airlines security line, right?
Right.
And they're at all the luggage carousels
right.
where they get, quote, tipped off. I was assaulted by a guy last week. I'm like, whoa, how'd you get, what? And he goes, oh, all these celebrities are on your flight. I'm like, really? I had no idea. What? How?
Wow.
We just flew here from New York. What's the big
we
deal?
We can't, but
you can't
we're,
get
in
your
a,
luggage?
We're in a place where you have to take off your shoes,
your
belt and
yeah.
dump out your hair conditioner. You can't just say, hey, all a-holes with cameras who don't need to be here, out.
You can't rest your car at the curb for 12 seconds.
That's yes, true.
You
true.
Can't do that.
Go, buddy.
It makes me crazy when I go there and I want to pick up my kids or my wife.
Right.
If I stop my car,
right.
the guy starts writing a ticket.
Keep moving.
Right. Keep
right.
moving. Get out
right.
of here. But the guy at the camera.
Guy with
the
thyroid problem, bad facial hair, and a long criminal past. Come on in with
now,
your Kodak.
Are you guys with me that if a guy gets in Mike Tyson's face.
That's silly.
He's got what's coming to him.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
F him.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
he has a
yeah,
face
yeah.
tattoo.
Yeah.
Come on.
I was trying to put lipstick on a rhino, Your Honor. And, yeah. No, I'm suing the whole herd. No, everybody. Yes, you're an idiot. You deserve to be punched. I wish you'd punch more people at the airport. All right, last but not least, number one, Week in Rage. Again, Drew, jump in on this one.
Right.
I'm driving down Beechwood Boulevard the other day, and I'm coming into what I think is like a storm. Like it looks like it's foggy at the end of the street. I can't make it out. What's going on? As I get closer, I realize, oh, it's a leaf blower, and the guy's just blowing, guy's just blowing the sand around. And I've been hearing more leaf blowers. And driving
yeah.
through these just yeah. small, there's small little dust storms of these, and I think to myself, everything's illegal in this city. It really is. I went back to the kids in the car. Everything's about safety. Everything's. What about smokers? What about secondhand smoke? What about the fact that you can't even smoke in a park
Let's
in the city
this way.
Or at the beach? Or if you go to a bar, you have to smoke not out on the sidewalk. Got to go down the street.
Dust much more likely to affect all of our lungs and trigger someone's asthma attack than peanuts.
Right.
And they're not picking
they
stuff up.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's not
they
pixie
just blow
dust.
It right there.
Right. They blow it.
Put
here's,
it
here's the deal. I go, I'll blow half in my neighbor's pool, and we'll do half in my pool. And then he does it, and then the neighbor's gardener comes over and blows it back.
Exactly.
On. It's like the Hatfields and the Blacoys over there with the blower going on. And yes, Drew, as far as your lungs go, would you rather your kids experience secondhand smoke or whatever has been blown in the air that it's soot that has fallen onto the street
well,
over the course
that,
of the week?
We live in the desert. You get coccidiomycosis. There are actually fungal diseases you can get
you're
from this stuff.
You're sucking up cockroach feces as you're driving your car by with the window. Like everything
Valley
that's on
fever.
The ground.
Valley fever. That's coccy. That's right. But why is he always blowing leave right after the garbage guy's backing up near your house
neat,
to it?
Neat. Here's the point. Make them illegal and charge us all an extra hour when you come and use the rake. Just bust out the rake. Because they do that thing where they go, well, if we can't use our leaf blowers, then it's going to take us an extra hour. Right. Who's going to pay for it? Same people that pay for the airbags in the cars. Us. You put them in, we pay for them. It's a law and a discussion. Yeah. I know Vera Ghost is worried about a million man leaf blower march or something, but really. These things are a nuisance, and they can't be good for the guy who's wearing them either.
And by the way, only exists in Southern California.
The only
they,
place
they've
really?
Ever seen a leaf blower.
We're not dumb enough. Listen, I say you either look. But by the way, I thought we'd be living in a land like when I was a kid. I thought everyone would have a jet pack. Now every Mexican has a leaf blower, and I'm tortured. Let's get rid of them, outlaw them, just like they do in Beverly Hills.
I am shocked that Adam found something to complain about this week that's so different, but we do it every Friday on The Kevin and Bean Show. Don't miss AdamCarolla.com for both his award-winning podcasts, including today you're taping with Dr. Drew in about, well, as soon as you get to the house, so in about a half an hour, people can call in, right?
Be fair, the warehouse. The warehouse. The kingdom that is the warehouse.
And you can find the number at AdamCarolla.com if you want to call in and talk to those guys. Drew, Adam, great to see you, man. Thanks for stopping
Thank
by.
You.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 9:40.
Sorry, I'm a little confused.
Thick Kevin's back. Hey, Thick Kevin.
Hey, Thick Kevin from Pirate Radio.
Hey, stop calling me Thick Kevin.
Oh, I'm never going to stop calling you Thick Kevin.
But not Thick.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat. You must be so happy at the end of the week, Ralph, that you don't have to think about celebrities all weekend long.
Yeah, it's kind of a relief. It started off as sort of fun.
Yeah,
doing this little entertainment news segment. But the worse the celebrities got over the past couple years, the less fun it is.
Yeah.
You end up a lot of talk about Spencer and Heidi and Khloe Kardashian and people who
Lindsay.
Are just...
Lindsay and her
just,
parents.
Just zeros.
Yeah.
And I know Drew has done that book about...
celebrity narcissism.
Narcissism, right. And we talked about it. We had him on talk about narcissism. And I said, my downfall when it comes to narcissism is sometimes I think I'm better than some people. But we are better than those people. like Spencer and Heidi and the Khloe Kardashians
yeah, I think we
and those
can agree
people.
On that,
we're
actually.
Better than those people. We are.
It's healthy to admit that we are.
And I prefer my celebrities to be better than me. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to do that in this report. I'll give you.
Son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked.
That's right. I'm going to give you reports about people I think who are better than us.
It's going to be a short report.
It will be.
But good luck.
Megan Fox in the news. She's come clean. In this Sunday's New York Times Magazine's profile, she talks about the fact that she has pretty much created this persona of Megan Fox. This person we see in the tabloids and the people we read about and the people we see in interviews, she is that's not her true personality, she says. She's created a character.
Well, I do have a 22-inch waist.
And she just says those things.
Hmm.
She's throwing bones to the press.
So it's a carefully crafted...
Yeah, she's skillfully managing her celebrity, she claims.
I don't buy it.
Okay. You don't?
No, I don't think she's that smart.
She said, I created the character as an offering for the sacrifice. It's a testament to my real personality that I would go so far as to make up another personality to give to the world, she says.
Hmm. Yeah, all right, take
she's
it easy.
Deep, man. She's deep, you don't know. Yeah.
I go both ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nicolas Cage... got some good news. Apparently, his buddy Johnny Depp has volunteered to help him out of his recent financial crisis.
Wow.
Johnny thanks Nicholas and causes him, not blames him, but credits him with being the beginning of his film career. Apparently, back in the day, Nicholas introduced Johnny Depp to his agent, sent him over there, recommended Johnny to his agent, and Johnny got his first movie role from that agent, Nightmare on Elm Street, and that was the beginning of his entire career.
That's
so
cool
Johnny
that he remembers that.
Johnny has vowed to help Cage with his tax bill.
That's very nice. Yeah.
Nice to have friends like that. You guys would never help me if I had tax bill.
God, no.
If I had situation.
No.
I'd be on my own, wouldn't I?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd help you.
Thanks, Psycho Mike.
I have no money.
You have no money. The one guy, the brokest guy in the room is the one who's going to help me. Speaking of Nick Cage, he said he once had the worst stalker ever. He was once stalked by a mime.
What?
Yeah.
How is that the worst?
Because he said it was very unsettling.
It would be creepy, I
think. Where you turn around, a guy, there's another mime trapped inside of a box or pulling on a rope, walking against the wind. Every time you turn around, you got a mime following you. He said it was a very unsettling experience.
Could I just help you get out of the box and we can all move on with our lives?
It happened while I was filming Bring Out the Dead, the Martin Scorsese movie, and he said he had to call in the producers.
That's awesome.
To get security to handle the silent situation, as he refers to it, because it was creeping him out.
Plus, that movie's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Then you got a mime following you around. That would blow.
You're right. That is creepy.
It's horrible. And bad news for Taylor Lautner, who, of course, stars as the dog in the new Twilight movie.
She does good work.
Apparently, he got quite a scare in Brazil when he was promoting the film over there because...
Someone step on his tail?
2,000 fans burst into the hotel trying to find him.
Wow.
2,000 fans broke through the barricade and rushed the hotel.
That does seem scary.
That does seem scary.
Any of them mimes?
No mimes, as far as I know.
200 mimes.
Taylor says police had to control the situation in riot gear.
What?
Yeah. I wish they had murdered those fans. Really? Less twihards in the world, you know what I'm saying?
What did we find out this morning about people who already camped out for a Twilight screening next week?
Yeah, they're already outside the theater in Westwood, California, waiting for the premiere.
That is correct.
Which happens on Monday, I believe.
Yeah. That is correct. Tents, sleeping bags, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, people.
Yeah.
Right, gear.
Why?
Oh, let's do a drive-by with some paintball guns. Use red paintballs to be like all blood so they'd be happy about it.
Yeah, there you go.
Just drive by, just strafe them.
I like it.
How are the Twilight fans still supporting this franchise when they've now introduced a talking dog? I don't even understand how. Like, how is that?
Oh, hello, Bella. I will protect you.
Does that take them out of the story? Is that just silly, Lisa?
No.
Gee, Davey, God is good.
The wolf's trying to protect the people against the vampires.
Well, he's no wolf. I've seen this footage, and he's a dog.
Big wolf.
What about the dog, Michael?
Good question.
What about dogs? What about the dogs?
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Today's celebrity birthday is Monique Coleman from High School Musical. Played Arlene in that
Taylor.
Show.
I looked it up for you. Taylor.
She is 29 years old. There's a lot of young Arlene today.
Highly unlikely.
Too. Highly unlikely. Steve Zahn from That Thing You Do. And most recently, he was in the jungle with Mila Jovovich. Remember when they were running?
Oh, right.
That other couple was trying to kill him and whatnot. That was bad news. He is 42 years old today. As is our buddy Jimmy Kimmel, celebrates his 42nd birthday. Whoopi Goldberg is 54 years old. And Chris Noth from Law & Order and Sex and the City, and most recently The Good Wife, he is 55 years old today. He plays Arlene in The Good Wife.
I don't think it's Arlene.
That's true.
Interesting.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, it is the Kevin and Bean Show. On Monday morning, we have a very special day. We have many announcements for you. Money announcements. One is about Miss Double December.
Oh! One of our favorite events of the year, the Miss Double December competition.
One is about a Christmas set of concerts. Set?
Really?
Is it a set if it's two?
We do two nights a set, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so.
Look at Lisa. Look at Lisa's set. She's showing them off today.
That's a set.
This is a set. All right, good.
Yeah. Two of them. Two.
So that's on Monday as well, and we have Harvey Levin from TMZ and a bunch of
stuff. Oh, a lot to talk to him about.
Yes, we do.
He talked to the boyfriend of Miss California, remember?
Best. Harvey's the best.
20 videos that guy's got of her. We gotta get his number from Harvey.
Talk to him.
Yeah.
Harvey's not giving it out.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Open wide for Chunky.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
Roll another one.
This should not happen in America.
Just like the other one.
Penis hungry hooker with a huge vagina.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You can never let it show on your
and
face.
I need another hit.
It's like my dad said to me once. He said, if you love a lot, and I indeed get love a lot, and I've loved a lot, you're going to get love a lot.
What was that?
Roll
roll another one.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Just like the other one.
You are a talented son of a bitch.
This one seems to be about to invent. I don't have another sense.
I want to talk about 2012. What do you think?
Well, can you expand on that?
Jeremy Piven.
We don't know.
Just pass it around.
There we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
What a bother to join my friend.
Woo!
I just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
We're going to stop it. Better we stop it. It's our decision. It's a decision that we have to take. There's no reason to continue with this. Are you okay? Are you with that? You agree? Yes. Is that it? Yeah? That's it? Let's finish it. That's it. Let's go.
Again, we leave you from within the shadows of the everlasting hills. May peace be with you this day and always.
That went really well.
Peace out.